Good morning, councillors.
Good morning, Mayor.
Good morning, everybody. In accordance with local government meeting procedures regulation 2015, notice is hereby given that an ordinary meeting of the Central Highlands Council is scheduled to be held in the council chamber block 4 on Tuesday 21st of October, commencing at 9 a.m. with the business of the meeting to be in accordance with the following agenda paper. In accordance with the local government meeting procedures regulation 2015 part 2 of division 1, a notice of the meeting was published on the council website on the 1st of August 2024. General Manager Certification. Pursuant to section 65(1) of the Local Government Act 1993, I hereby certify with respect to the advice, information and or recommendation provided for the guidance of council in this agenda that A. Such advice, information and or recommendation has been given by a person who has the qualifications or experience necessary to give such advice, and B. Where any advice is given by a person who does not have the required qualification or experience, that person has obtained and taken into account the advice from an appropriately qualified or experienced person. Section 65(2) forbids council from deciding any matter which requires the advice from a qualified person without considering that advice. Dated at Bothwell on the 16th day of October 2025 by the Acting General Manager Stephen Matthews. We move into our agenda. Order of business. The meeting commenced at 9 a.m. Audio recording disclaimer. I won't go through the whole lot of it. I'll just read two parts of. The Mayor advises the meeting and members of the public that council meetings, not including closed sessions, are audio recorded and published on council's website in accordance with council's policy 2017-50. The Mayor also advises that members of the public are not permitted to make audio recordings of council meetings without prior approval being granted. Acknowledgement of country. I acknowledge the traditional owners of this land, the Tasmanian Aboriginal people, past, present and future. Conduct of the meeting. Central Highlands Council takes safety seriously. We have a duty to ensure that we provide a safe workplace for our employees, councillors, contractors and members of the public while present at council workplaces. These premises form part of council's workplace and it is expected that everyone who attends council meetings will behave in a polite and respectful manner. People should refrain from using offensive or derogatory language or comments and not be aggressive, threatening or speak in a hostile manner. Firstly, I would welcome our new councillor, Councillor Shelley Triffitt. Congratulations, Shelley. And please be respectful, Shelley. This is her very first meeting.
We can't have that.
We'll be interested, Shelley. Present is the Deputy Mayor, Jim Allwright, Councillor Yvonne Miller, Councillor Anthony Archer, Councillor Julie Honor, Councillor David Meacham, Councillor Robert Cassidy, Councillor Shelley Triffitt, Councillor John Hall, Acting General Manager Stephen Mackey, Deputy General Manager Adam Wilson, Zishan, our Finance Manager, and in the gallery we have our reporter Damien, and we also have Steve Loring. Apologies, obviously we don't have any apologies. Consideration of supplementary items. May I have a mover, please?
There are none.
There's none, so we don't have to do that one. That is good. Three is declaration of pecuniary and conflict of interest by councillors and staff. Do I have any, please?
I have one in the closed session.
What number is that, please?
Oh, I knew you were going to ask three.
Well, you should have been reading.
4.3. 4.3, thanks, Adam.
I have one as well.
So it's Stephen and Adam, is it both
4.3? Yeah. Well, I'm assuming.
Both 4.3, Adam?
Yes.
4.3. in the closed. Very good. Minutes. Confirmation of the draft ordinary council minutes on the 23rd of September. Move it, please. Councillor Honour. Seconder. Councillor Miller, please pop your hand out. Oh, I can't see that far. Okay, as the mover, Councillor Miller, any comments?
No, I'm not the mover, I'm the seconder.
Oh, sorry, Councillor Honour, any comments?
No, nothing to report on that.
Very good, Councillor Miller, seconder. No. Councillor Laws.
Mayor, I wasn't present, so I don't know how that's noted.
Where's that, Councillor?
Oh, I simply guess that I can't vote for or against.
You can abstain.
Abstain, thank you.
Which is voting against.
Yes, I know. I know. That's right.
That was my just before you. Thank you. So, Councillor Meacham is abstaining. Okay. Alrighty. Any other councillors got it? No. Alright, back to the mover to close.
No, I have nothing to add.
Those in favour of the recommendation, please raise your hand high in the air so I can
see. Sure, you can't. Sure.
Why
you
are?
You can't.
Two abstentions.
So two votes against.
Oh, sorry, Councillor Triffitt. Yes. Yep. So Councillor Triffitt's an abstention as well. I have to say, Councillor Shelley, we've got two Triffitts on board.
Yeah, we have.
Yeah, it's an air guy, Shelley.
Might have to spell it.
Yeah, the ETs and the ICOs. Alrighty, so that was carried. Five is notification of council workshops. The workshop was held on the 7th of October and was attended by all councillors and the acting GM, Damien Mackey, Worker Services and Executive Assistant. You would have read all the notes there. Mm-hmm. 5.1 is future workshops.
Needs to be changed.
Yes, I was going to say we need to add at least, what, two GM recruitment sessions?
Just a moment, please. I'll go back to the acting GM. Can you give us the dates, please?
It's down there for the 11th, so you need to pick another date. Apparently, Councillor Heyer advised me there was another event on that day. So.
Oh, is that the one up the top of the bottle?
On the 11th of November.
Remembrance Day.
And we've got to be there at 10:15.
So a councillor's going to that?
Yes, I'd like to go.
Open to the public. Right. The signs are up, so yes.
Is that absolutely?
Yes.
They're going to walk to the crossing.
Yes. The older school children are, and the adults who want to, the younger school children are going to be occupied with old-fashioned games down the bottom of the hill.
That'll be me, I think. I'll jump over.
So that's it, absolutely. Okay, yes. Councillor Merchant.
If the majority of councillors are going to that event, could we have a PM workshop?
I'm tied up all day.
What's your thoughts about this one?
Look, the thing being is that quite clearly you can set another date, you know, whether it's a week out from that one. I suppose a week out from that's getting awfully close to the next council meeting.
The council meeting would be the same day, the Tuesday. Yeah. If we go to the 11th and the 18th, that would be the council meeting.
Yeah, so basically, you know, it's up to council. If they want a workshop or they don't want a workshop.
Maybe we won't have one. Councillor Cassidy.
If I could ask Julie or others, I seem to recall the event lasting a couple of hours. Is that correct? So we could be finished conceivably by 12:30, 1 o'clock.
I won't be because I'm driving the bus.
Yeah.
So I think
it would save travel expense for council if we did a PM workshop.
Well, do we need that workshop?
It's up to councillors whether they want the workshop.
Or just
what
that's
what
I'm saying.
Discuss?
Do we need one?
What is it about?
I know. Wasn't Rick Godwin proposing to come and present in relation to fashion, but I don't know that that's still in train.
It's not still in train at this point in time.
Well, yeah. What say we do not have a workshop? Are you happy with that, Councillor? Yes, Councillor Cassidy.
I thought Bobby and Mackie was going to present something at the next workshop.
He presented at the last.
Well, he didn't.
No.
Actually, but we didn't finish it.
He couldn't finish it, remember?
Okay.
Okay, so we would need a decision here and a motion, wouldn't we?
If you want to have it in that afternoon, I'll talk to Damien. He'll be here today anyway. He'll be here about lunchtime, so, yeah.
I mean, it was, like I said, it would save travel expense because everybody's going to be commuting from all over the municipality anyway to Apsley, and so ricochet back to Bothwell and it'd save travel time and travel expense for everybody.
Council, if you wish to have it in the afternoon, then let's...
Council meeting?
I was thinking move it forward to the 4th, November 4th.
There's something not...
We have changed the... Isn't that the Melbourne Cup or something? Yes.
It's November... Melbourne Cup.
If you've got something already on the 11th, why not have it at, 1 o'clock on the 11th?
I think so.
Would council still like a workshop at 11 o'clock on the 11th with Damien?
No,
1 o'clock with Damien Mackie?
Yep.
Yeah? Yes. Please raise your hand in favour of that so I've got an idea. Alright. Okay. So 1 o'clock is the workshop on the 11th and it will be basically Damien Mackie.
Of course, unless it rains.
Unless it rains.
Because then they've got
to... Name is just... Councillor. So, okay, we'll set it in for 1 o'clock.
On the 11th.
On the 11th. Yeah. 1 o'clock.
Steve, we also need to note the GM recruitment workshops, don't we?
Mm. Well, you've...
They're all in place.
You've got those in place, I understand.
They're all in place.
27th and...
But they're not from the year.
They don't need to be, do they?
No, they don't need to be.
No. I would have thought they would have been dealt with in closed session.
They are.
Okay, this one.
All right, so we're set for that. We have the 1 o'clock workshop on the 11th. Thank you. Public question time. I won't go through the whole lot of that. You would be quite aware of public question time and the process in accordance with the local government meeting procedures regulations 2015. The council conducts a public question time forum to enable members of the public to ask questions on public on council related matters. A member of the public may give written notice to the general manager 7 days before a meeting of a question to be put to the meeting. The chairperson may invite any member of the public present at a meeting to ask questions without notice relating to activities of the council subject to the provisions of clause 2. Are there any questions from the public gallery? No? Okay, thank you. Petitions, deputations, presentations, nil. Presentations, I said nil, yes. H is notice of motions. And then we've got 8.1, a notice of motion by Councillor Triffett. The mover is Councillor Triffett. May I have a seconder, Councillor Honour? Would you like to speak to that motion, Councillor Triffett?
Well, it's pretty much already here, what I've had to
say
about that.
Yeah.
I was just approached by several members of the community up around that way.
Yes.
And they have concerns for their network up there, just very shifting phase in and out, and yes, as soon as they knew I was on council, they've all come forward, so
very
what I put in here pretty much says it all.
Thank you. Councillor Honour is the seconder.
Yeah, I know where Councillor Triffitt is coming from. I've also been approached by ones in that area, and I go over there quite often, and yeah, you've got no service.
No.
Okay, very good. Any comments, Councillor Lawless? No? Back to the mover to close.
Oh, can we, just this, Shelley, thanks for the conversation. Thanks again for the conversation the other day about this. I've just been concerned about the form in which this might go forward to that meeting on the 1st, because the agenda is very specific about addressing problems in the Central Plateau. And I know there are a number of people at Bronte in particular who share the same problem, and they're served from different customers. So we've spent about 7 weeks setting that meeting up, on a rough count about 32 emails, two Zoom sessions tailing up to about 3 hours, and we've got another one scheduled. I'm happy to see something formal being done on the day, and I hope, Shelley, if you're attending, you use the opportunity to meet the NBN rep there and the Telstra people. But the whole construction of that meeting has been geared towards the improvements to the Reynolds Neck and the Barrentia.
And thank you, Councillor Meacham, for all the work you've done here. As this is a council-hosted meeting, it will be chaired by myself, and I'll have the acting GM there as well. And each councillor will be given the opportunity to speak.
I think you'll find that if there are people from those areas, there's no way we can stop that from raising their grievances. I don't see that there's any problem with what's
not at all. Here. And I mean, it would share the same as any other community meeting that we do have, which we've had many over the years. Councillor Cassidy.
Yes, I don't think that we should diminish Shelley's words of emotion here one iota. And since Councillor Meacham's going to have another conversation with Telstra, I would suggest that he also include Shelley's information. And all it is one more email and one more phone conversation. So I think it's valid, and we should support it as a council.
Thank you. Any other comments?
I move for a suspension of standing orders, because I do need to respond to that.
I'm happy to second that.
Just a moment. Okay.
Suspend Councillor Meacham, Councillor Archer.
Yes.
To suspend standing orders, those in favour.
Councillor Cassidy, are you in favour?
Oh no, we've already said enough.
Sorry, is that a yes or a no?
No.
Okay. So those councillors in favour is Councillor Allwright, Millas, Archer, Honour, Meacham, Triffitt and Hall. And those against, Councillor Cassidy and myself. Thank you. That goes through.
Yep.
That is. Alrighty.
Okay, if I may, ma'am, in relation to this, as I've stated, the whole focus of the conversations with Telstra and with the NBN people, and there is another provider also going to be there on the day, is towards services on the Central Plateau. I do accept, and I know that there will be Bronte people present, voicing, and I know, Shelley, I think this is a good...
excuse me, just talk straight to me.
Okay, in relation to this, then, I'd recommend for any of you who have concerns to aim for creating a similar forum, because I think there are at least two other service areas that probably deserve this sort of forum treatment, and looking for a specific response from Telstra and from NBN. And those two districts would be probably Bronte, certainly Bronte, Brady's Lake, but she consumed there, probably Durham Bridge, but also that whole southeast corner around Pelham and that area.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, once again I will say this will be conducted by council. Everyone, including councillors, will have the opportunity at the community consultation. Okay, Councillor Cassidy, had your hand up.
Surely. Council has fairly well beaten up on Telstra. We've had them here, we invited them, we had a Zoom meeting and so on and so forth with Michael. I can't remember his family name right now, it doesn't matter. Anyway, I think they are well aware of our absolute dissatisfaction with their service and Pelham Road and so forth. So this meeting I see would merely reinforce that and also highlight the shortfall in bandwidth and other telecommunications services up there. I feel that we, as a council, we should stand together as a collective to take on Telstra, take them head on, and express our displeasure. The only way they're going to understand is a meeting like this and everybody involved, including the community, and all councillors given the opportunity to express themselves.
Yes, that's exactly the point of the meeting, I imagine. Councillor
Orr. So I'll have to get David to help me with this one. At the small business community meeting, so because I wonder whether Telstra and the telecommunication providers are going deliberately a bit slow. The feds have done a deal with Elon Musk, and they just haven't got it sorted out yet, and they probably just want to for Starlink. So I was just wondering whether whether Telstra will be that receptive.
Yeah, look, the thing is, it's quite clear if Telstra are that naive that there's only a certain spot in the Central Highlands that there's telecommunications problems. the lady that's at Derwent Bridge, with the business there, she's got to go down the road to use FBOS or get messages on a phone to find out whether people have made a booking.
Exactly.
That's been passed on to them. Telstra's comment to that was, go to Optus.
Well, anyway, someone put heavies on them because the feds have done a deal with Elon Musk, so, but it's actually only operating on 000 at the moment, is that the message? Yeah. So, I'm a bit in two minds whether, if the meeting at Myena is broadened out to the whole municipality, it'll just end up going nowhere. Whereas if we just keep, but there's a lot of work being done, just keep it to the Central Highlands area, you might get some action there.
But what do we do when a person then says, I've got an issue at Brady's Lake, I've got an issue at Derwent Bridge?
Exactly.
Do we tell them, oh dear, how's that?
No, but maybe David's got the right idea, just focus there and then use the same forum for the Bronte, Brady's Lake area. There's a lot of shacks around there.
Mm-hmm. All right, we've got Councillor Meacham, Cassidy and Archer ready to speak. And
just,
Miller's got a hand up as well.
Just to fill in on, in terms of the background, this we set up this event following representations from Michael and the community there about the systems within the ambulance, and I think also the fire. The systems that simply don't work because
it's the fire, police, and ambulance.
And so. Again, you know, that's kind of at the front of this concern, and it's very specific to that. To that region, to that Central Plateau region. GM, Steve, you're absolutely right. If other people bring concerns forward, well and good, but the Telstra people are not primed to attend to those at the meeting.
Well, Telstra can speak to themselves.
Yeah,
yes,
they can speak to themselves.
Of course they can.
Yeah, and this is not a case of me being parochial. I mean, if you look back at the last budget process, and I acknowledge the support of councillors, I got through good funding relationship projects in Austerlee, Hamilton and Bothwell, and I've got a grant submission for Bothwell underway at the moment too. So this is just part of, you know, our community development role.
Perfect. Councillor Cassidy, Archer and Miller.
Well, I'd like to ask fellow councillors, what are we here for? We're advocates. We're advocates for the community. We're advocates for any power.
Yep.
We're advocates actually for Tasmania as well. So I'd like to ask, how many of you have ever written a letter to the Federal Communications Minister on this issue? I have, more than once. That's what I do. I pester politicians. And I think that's the only way that you can get through the message.
Thank you. Councillor Archer Miller.
Yeah, I wanted to highlight the public safety issues associated with the poor service there. Based upon the experience during the Myina bushfires, what would happen there if they wanted to do a backburn in the morning, the fireys would need to go and establish where the fire was. There was no reception, so then they would have to drive sometimes up to 20 kilometres to find a point of reception, call in a backburn, and wait to get the backburn confirmed in Launceston.
Yes.
Then drive back to it and let the staff know that yes, it's okay to go in the background, but it was too dark.
Correct.
You know, it's a major public safety issue. I very much endorse Shelley's lobbying on this issue, but I think that we really need to highlight the safety, not just we hear all the time about people with health concerns, but there are major other concerns, particularly in disaster management like bushfires, that we need to also emphasise. And it's an easy sell. You know, it's truthful, it's what's happened, it's real world experiences. And I think it really needs to be brought to the Minister's attention that this can't continue.
And I think it's important that all these comments from councillors are at the table when we have our meeting on the 1st of November. Councillor Miller.
I would like to be able to get people from several areas from the Great Lakes area together, like this meeting, to say, yes, we have a problem. It's just not one area, but it's several. So if Telstra and the NBN can, especially Telstra, if we just say, okay, this is just from Myina, or this is just from this area, or this is just from the, you know, Arthur's Lake, they'll think, oh yeah, it's just one area. But if we can get to show them that it's the whole area,
I think that'll come out in the meeting.
Yeah, but that's what I'm hoping to get it, so that they can, and the more people we've got there from different areas, the more they're going to be bombarded.
Yeah.
The Lakes Country, quite clearly, if we think it's only going to be known in Myina, I think we're kidding ourselves.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it'll be a good
A good thing to have people from as far wide as we can get.
Oh, I think that.
And then just to bombard them.
Yeah,
we do what we did before. Bloody embarrass the shit out. Excuse my expression. Embarrass the hell out of the audience.
I know. Councillor Archer.
Mayor, I spoke to the Mayor of Tasman Council about how they've managed to successfully lobby to get some significant grants
for
their area. And again, so I'm misquoting, but the background was that they approached Telstra and said, what would it cost to do the whole area? You know, give us a budget.
That's a good approach,
and let's say it was $1.50 or whatever it was. Then they broke it down into components that they could encourage them to do in year one.
Yeah.
And I think that was a very good approach, that they that there were two parts to it. One of them is they relied very much upon the service to Port Arthur, because that's an easy sell. You know, so many tourists a year, so many visitor numbers. And I've been racking my brain to think how we should do exactly the same thing for the lakes here. You know, is it a major draw, or let's say there's big population issues, you know, world fishing, blah, blah, blah. But I think what we need to do is to actually approach them, get a budget to fix the problem. You know, what's it going to cost us? And then approach them in a staged approach to get it done over several years. But I think we do need that budget from them. What's it going to cost us to fix all these problems so that we can then get it broken down?
I think what will occur at the meeting is that Telstra will come across on the basis that they've got an idea what needs to be to happen. They were looking at putting a tower at Brady's Lake. Once they got to the $3 million mark, they decided it was just too dear. But their view is that out of this meeting, they want to try and get a coordinated approach with them, Tasmanian government, federal government, and council to actually put money in to actually do or work towards getting an upgrade in the high country.
Oh, that's good information, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, Councillor Cassidy, and then I'm going to go back to the mover suppliers.
Yeah, so, as you all know, this telecommunications problem, other than, well, including the NBN, there's fixed wireless up there, I would assume. It's all line of sight issues, so we have a topography problem, and that overcoming that challenge costs money, lots and lots of money, because they need to have access or build access. So I think that if we can somehow figure out the funding of it, either bothering the heck out of the federal government to tip in some money to Telstra and to Central Highlands and the state government as well. I don't see that this is a responsibility of council other than addressing the community's concerns. We don't have the money with 2,500 ratepayers to, you know, keep funding Telstra towers or Optus towers or whomever. These Telstra, Optus, and so forth, they've got a heck of a lot more money than we will ever hope to have. So I think that we need to pressure the federal government. The last comment that I would like to make, this meeting possibly could get out of hand. Are we going to have Tasmania Police presence there at all?
I imagine so, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so back to the mover, Councillor Machin to close.
No, suspended standing orders.
We need to resume standing orders.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you do that?
Yes, I move to resume standing orders.
Okay.
I'm happy to second that.
Okay, thank you. Would you like to go?
Those in favour of that motion?
Raise your hands, please. And those against?
Yeah, look,
Councillor Machin.
Shall we discuss this?
Councillor Machin's against. Okay.
I don't think he's against the resuming standing orders. I think he's against Councillor Triffitt's motion. Is that correct? So we now need to put the motion.
Yeah, we need to put
okay.
the motion to resume.
Oh, okay.
Well, you've done that, and you've
yeah.
we're back in the normal meeting, so we've got the motion on the table. So we now need to...
Sure, it can close, can't you?
So that was the recommendation moved by Councillor Triffitt, seconded by Councillor Honour.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Okay. So back to Councillor Triffitt to close. Yes? Okay.
All those in favour of the motion?
Please raise your hands. Okay. Those against? Councillor Triffitt.
Thank you.
Okay. 8.2. This one's by Councillor Triffitt about the recycling. We did have a little discussion about that one. I need a seconder. Councillor Cassidy, I think, was first there. As the mover, Councillor Triffitt, do you have any comments to your motion?
I just thought having one there would be more central. Luckily, I know we have one in Bothwell.
Yeah.
But as far as I know, there's no more like in around that area, up around that way. So.
No,
it's not. Correct. Councillor Cassidy is the seconder.
Yes, I have had people approach me from the Derwent Valley side about having one of these recycling machines in either Hamilton or Rose, that they desperately want it. They don't want to drive or for whatever reason cannot drive all the way to Bothwell, and it's not economic. It's 10 cents a container to drive all the way here, drive all the way back, and spend that in fuel. So it makes sense, but I understand that the installer of that recycling machine in Bothwell, and they're the ones that had determined the locations, and depends a heck of a lot on security and so on and so forth, because as we know and read or heard in the news that one was set alight in Brighton, and we don't want that to happen in our small communities. But, you know, a side benefit of this whole thing is that you know, folks are cleaning up the Lyle Highway and recycling the bottles, and you know, it's a, probably be a good income for some.
Okay. Thank you, Councillor Hall, and all right.
I'll put this to the General Manager and the Mayor this morning about the letter from Bushwatch, drafted by them about this, what we're talking about. They're just saying is that they've come all the way from the Dunn Valley side over to here, that's been closed, it only works from 9 in the morning till 5 at night. And they responded back to them in a draft letter, and I'm not going to read all of it, but this is from the CEO. A network of 49 refunding points have been rolled out across the state, including King Island and Flinders Island. Once this is completed, 85% of coverage of Tasmania, and most of these machines will be in 10 kilometres within most people's access. And I mean, it just said it's an ongoing, this is going to be an ongoing rollout of these machines, but how long it's going to take is in the laps of the gods.
Thanks, Councillor. Councillor, all right then, Miller.
So a bit of background, Shelley, but John covered most of it. I'm the council rep on Tas Waste, right? So it's a private organisation. To have it set up on council-owned land is problematic in the sense that we wouldn't want to be employing ratepayers, wouldn't want to be paying an employee to go and sort it out on Saturday. That's hard work. As John said, it's an ongoing process of rolling out. John also tells me this one's quite loud. So to have it at the car park at Ooze, I'm not sure. Someone, it needs to be up there somewhere, but next to the IGA, but there's too many houses around. A bit loud. You can hear it from your place.
Yes, can you?
So there's someone where the post office is at Ooze. There's a bit of vacant land owned by the IGA, but there's a house right next door to it. You wouldn't want to live next door to it, would you?
No.
Okay.
It's sort of a bit problematic. I don't know what the answer is. Certainly need one at Ooze or Hamilton. But it's the ongoing management and maintenance of it doesn't make it suited to public ownership.
Okay, Councillor Miller.
I've been talking to the owners of the Gretna Hotel.
Okay.
Now they've gone from 7 bins to 2 bins a week, and that's with people taking their bottles and their cans and everything. But the residents are asking for a recycle closer to them, and talking to Tash about it. A lot of residents go through Gretna to get into town or to Norfolk. So she was asking whether there'd be one in an area somewhere at Gretna to put it. As she said, most people then go down through there. So maybe that's an idea. We look at the area where people travel past, so they're not going out of their way to go to one of these bins.
Are you talking about locations?
Locations, yeah.
Yeah. Councillor Cassidy.
I was wondering, is it possible that council could write to the manufacturer of those recycling machines to improve soundproofing that may mitigate the noise issue next to houses if they could either put a second shell on there with improved insulation or possibly enclose the facility.
Yeah, we'll take it up with it.
We can try that one, yeah. Well, back to the recommendation that's sitting in front of us. It was moved by Councillor Triffitt and seconded by Councillor Cassidy. So I've asked councillors to speak. Any other councillors need to speak? Okay. So back to the mover to close. Councillor Triffitt, are you ready to close? Okay, so those in favour of the recommendation, please raise your hands. Is there anyone against the recommendation? Councillor Miller is against.
Sorry, it's only because of the location of it. I feel we could do a better location.
They won't do it. It's just they will not do it. They won't do it.
I'd be surprised. But we should try. It makes a bit of an interest.
8.3, Councillor Triffitt's motion that Council requests the Works and Services investigate school bus companies, the relocation. A seconder, please. Councillor Hall. Councillor Triffitt has moved. Would you like to speak to that motion?
Yes, so the main concern was safety there.
Okay.
Like they were talking about putting it up down on the main road in Hamilton, but most of the kids that catch that bus where it is have to walk down through the main road and everything, so they suggested along this street where they all live kind of thing.
Yeah.
Would be a lot safer than walking the main road, and the parents wouldn't have to drive them down, they could just walk instead of being dropped off in their vehicles or anything.
Very good. Yeah. Councillor Hall, the seconder.
I heard on the grapevine that the government was allocating $1.5 million for the relocation of bus shelters, especially those ones that are in bad areas where safety is an issue. I'm just wondering if we oughtn't explore the possibility of it being moved and not being funded by the council or whatever, or...
Currently council has in the budget funds to actually do it. But needless to say, it's quite clear, if it needs to be in a safer location, then it's the more appropriate place to put it. I'll find out. I did see it, so I'll find out a bit more about it. And yeah. See, the issue is the location. It's not about the funding at this point in time. So quite clearly, if we can get funding from the state government to actually do it, then that's a bonus.
If it costs us nothing, I reckon it'll be a bonus.
So do I.
Okay, Councillor Miller.
I know that we've talked about this before, and we were looking at the area, the triangular area there at Glenclyde House, because the bus would then go straight ahead, and he's off the main road, and we were looking at putting one there. I'm a bit confused about, and I know Shelley can't speak until she finishes, where along, I mean, Ponsonby is a big street, so where along Ponsonby Street would we look at putting it?
I think we'd do that with the bus operators to determine which is the best location. Oh.
Yeah.
They've got a better idea than probably we are.
They tend to come down off the highway at Lynette Street.
Mm. Yep.
So turn there on Ponsonby, put it there. Is that roughly?
That's the route they take at the moment.
Yeah.
And it's what the acting GM said about the bus operators would need to have discussion. So, all right.
Can I ask Shelley another question?
Councillor Triffitt, call it.
Oh, sorry.
Call each other, Councillor.
I've seen it go down past the council chambers. Does it still do that?
Yes, through the park.
And past the park and come back out past Damien.
Because then some of the kids that are on the Glenora bus, we'll get off that, get onto the Norfolk one and head to Oos.
Yeah.
Oh, so the Oos bus comes in that way as well.
Mm. Alrighty. Without any further ado, I'll ask Councillor Triffitt to close the debate.
So I just wanted to say one about where they do take that route down Lynette Street, along to Ponsonby Street, and they stop at the end of the road there, Lynette and Ponsonby, and the kids get off there. Right. So they actually get off and on there, so.
Thank you.
That's why that suggestion was for
them. Not having kids, I don't know.
Thanks, Councillor Drew. Those in favour of the recommendation, please raise your hands.
I'll have to abstain.
Oh, Councillor Honour is the bus driver abstaining.
And I work for State Growth.
Oh, okay. So, Councillor Honour.
State Growth.
Thanks, Councillor Honour. Those in favour of the recommendation, raise your hands. Okay. That is everyone. Was that a raise, Councillor?
Yes, it was.
Okay.
Got tired.
That's carried. Eight point four, notice of motion, Councillor Honour, could I have a second, or Councillor Cassidy? Councillor Honour, would you like to speak to this?
Yeah, it seems to be better if we have the in committee first, then followed by morning tea and then the open meeting. We do RSVP, and that is so whoever's organising the meeting can then organise with the caterers how many will be there. And yes, it is up to the mayor who is invited to morning tea and lunch. And I think it would be beneficial to go back to that.
Okay, Councillor Cassidy, the seconder.
Well, this works since 2014. So why, you know, why do we have to change? I'm happy to keep it the way it was before it was changed.
Thank you, Councillor Miller, Archer and Meacham.
I've found that by changing it to the end has been good. Personally, I like it. To change it back just because of morning tea is not a good idea. Just because, I mean, we don't have that many in the gallery, and we normally ask them, would they like after morning tea? And I've noticed that, Mayor, that you normally ask them. We have, although we give them the numbers of people that are there for morning tea, I find that we have sufficient remaining after morning tea that go to the council staff. I like to keep it. I know it was a trial, but I think I'd like to keep it the way it is at the moment. Just because it's always been the other way doesn't mean that we have to. We can't change it.
Okay, Councillor Archer.
Yeah, I'd like to endorse what Councillor Miller said, really. To me, it's been a massive saving in time. It's the time lost waiting for the two meetings to coordinate. I think it's been terrific that we've actually made the change. To me, it's only been positive. It gives us some chance to toss some of the issues around quietly at morning tea and lunch. I think it's been a very positive change, and I think it was great that you initiated it. Thanks, and I'd endorse us keeping the policy.
Thank you, Councillor Meacham, then. All right.
Okay, if you look to the nature of our closed session, look at what we do. We consider, in particular, often multi, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars of tenders. We look at matters of great legal significance, and we look at very sensitive staff matters. Now, if we revert, and we're going to leave ourselves 5 or 10 minutes before we kick off at 10 o'clock with the open session, then we're going to have to shoehorn that very important business into 50 or 55 minutes. Now, I went looking at the minutes for the period when we were doing as Councillor Honour urges, and we closed as late as 10:34. At the moment, we used every minute productively in the day, as you stated, Councillor Archer. I look back at the minutes. We closed as late as 10:34. We closed as early as 9:27, I think it was. So that left us with half an hour sitting on our hands, waiting to kick off at 10 o'clock with the open session. Now, think about what that is conveying. If those late starts as late as 10:34, and I remember on one occasion, Jim, I think we transferred it, we took a break in the debate, and we resumed it sort of 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And, you know, in terms of the flow of the debate, that is disastrous.
Okay, but what's your point, please?
The point is that we, this is all the point. The point is that we are saying to the public, to the residents, your time doesn't matter to us.
We're not going to.
No.
We are, because we never, when we were doing this before, we never started on time.
Okay.
Okay, so we now in terms, and again within that period, if you go back 18 months, we had really sensitive meetings from which councillors and council staff emerged in states of distress. And those states of distress were obvious to the public who were there. In relation to the sanctity of the morning tea, it's easily resolved. We put a notice on the site saying these refreshments are reserved for councillors and council staff. Okay. So thank you, Councillor Miller, Councillor Archer. I totally endorse what you have to say on this.
Councillor, all right.
So, it's standard across the sector to have in the afternoon, after the meeting. It's just standard practice, it's been proven, as David said, that it's just not wasting time. It's clumsy to have it early because sometimes we haven't been able to. When the council meeting is advertised to start at 10, but if we can't get the closed session done at 10, we don't meet our standard opening time. It's
okay.
All clumsy, and to talk about food wastage or catering issues. There's that much food there, they chuck it out.
The point
might as well be eaten by some residents, some locals.
Okay. All right. And all right, before I get Councillor Honour to close. Is Councillor Cassidy allowed to speak again?
I thought Councillor Cassidy had already spoken to this.
As a second right here.
Yeah.
I'd like to respond to some of this nonsense. Complete nonsense.
Okay, well, for your information, as the Mayor invites anyone morning tea. Often it is someone that I've organised to come along and speak, to do a deputation, presentation, whatever, and I invite them ahead of time so the caterers do know. It's important to me, I think, for the closed session at 9 o'clock. It works that way very well. And councillors come in with a fresh mind, and also councillors can have the opportunity to address the subject. We often have very sensitive issues, as you know, in closed, and the importance of it being early is for all councillors to be present, because I know due to unavoidable commitments, some councillors have to leave early. So they can miss out on part of the most important part of council meetings. And you will see here, this is public, and we have there, it opens at 9 o'clock and that goes through till December 2025. So it's important we stick to our own rules, I believe. But in saying that, I will go to the councillor on it to close. Before I put the recommendation up.
Yeah. I just find that it's easier. The workforce all know that it's 9 o'clock if they've got to come to the in committee, not sometime throughout the day where they could be up whoop out of contact. That if they know it's on at 9 o'clock, that they can be here at 9, do that part, and then go. And I just find this a lot simpler.
Thank you. So I think I'll have for and against recorded for this. Those for the recommendation, please raise your hands. For the recommendation is Councillor Honour, Cassidy, Triffitt, Hall and Triffitt. Against, please raise your hands. is Councillor Allwright, Miller, Archer and Meacham. So it is carried. Thank you. Nine is planning, nil, ordinary meeting resumed, not required. Morning, Works and Services Manager.
Morning, Mayor.
11 is monthly mayoral and elected members' activities. You would have read them as listed. 11.1 mayoral announcements. On the Thursday, 16th of October.
Yeah, can I just, in relation to 11, the elected members' activity?
Where are you?
I'm at 11, which is the mayoral and elected members' activities.
Yeah.
Just to notify, well, a couple of things. Councillor Allwright, I think you'll have some comments in relation to the Evendale roundtable.
Are you moving this?
Yeah, well, we talked about
that.
Yeah, I'll move it then. I'll
Councillor Meacham, move.
Yeah, move it, yep.
Can I have a seconder? Councillor Allwright. Okay, Councillor, back to you, Councillor Meacham.
Simply this, I think Jim wants to speak.
You're the mover, you speak first.
Okay, I'll speak first. The Emmerdale roundtable first was, I think, very briskly run, very productively run. Some remarkable comments from one attendee about the threat of Chinese invasion after they conquer Taiwan, they're heading for Tasmania. For some reason that requires concrete roads from Burnie to Hobart, concrete bunkers along the way, manufacturing weapons. That was quite amazing. But overall, it was productive and I was very pleased to have Damien Mackey there, who was able to speak in relation to planning concerns. The other item, and I've asked that this be added to the record, is that I joined yesterday the online session run by the Office of Local Government in relation to the reduction in councillor numbers and the increase in councillor income. And that was very well attended. There was probably 30 plus attendees online, including quite a number of mayors. The tenor of the meeting was very much opposing reduction to 5 councillors. There were very cogent arguments against it. Somebody who I think was the acting head of OLG, GM Steve, do you know who that is?
Yeah, he was the deputy.
Yes.
He has now stepped up to the acting role.
Yes.
Yeah.
His name?
Good question.
Yeah, that's fine. Okay. It's just, I noticed it wasn't Moggridge, that's all.
No, he shifted onto another department.
It's Luke.
Luke.
Luke, who please?
Councillor Meacham, finished your comment?
That's the point. As I say, a very firm rejection of 5 councillor numbers.
Councillor, all right, the seconder.
So, more business matter, but unfortunately it's only now. Apart from that, they were wasting everyone's time. It was only just on an hour, I think, and that underscores the problem. Tasmania, there's a long way. Rebecca White had said to go to the East Coast, I think. Yes. This is going to be the problem with the Central Highlands if we only have 5.
Yeah.
there's just not enough critical mass. So. But small type round table, and Damien Mackey, he got a good presentation about the issues council bumps up against with policy makers and bureaucrats that think the outlet starts at Bridgewater, and they can't process what we need up here. So we've got some good discussion there, but unfortunately it's only now.
Thank you. Yeah. Councillors, any comments to do with the mayoral and elect members' activities? No? All good? Rightio. 11.1 mayoral announcement.
Can we have the motion in regards to the...
Didn't I do that? No. I've got a big... So I just... Thanks, Stephen. Okay, the recommendation was moved by Councillor Meacham, second by Councillor Allwright. Those in favour of the recommendation, please raise your hands. Is there anyone against? That is carried. Okie dokie, thank you. 11.1 is mayor announcements. On the 16th of October, the acting GM and I had a meeting in the Boswell Council chambers with the Diocese of the Church. This was to discuss possible options for the future of St Michael's and All Angels in Boswell. There was James Oakley, Stephen Savage and Henry Edgell in attendance. The discussion focused on the process regarding the church. I informed those present how important it was for council to host a community public meeting with members of the diocese in attendance to answer questions and explain the process and possible options for the future of St Michael's. Identified in the meeting were three main steps in the process. One was the diocese to investigate maintenance and funds available. Two was council to host a community meeting with the diocese in attendance. And three was to then go to a council meeting. Now the timeline was discussed and James Oakley was going to be away at a certain time. So the timeline is after the 16th of January, possibly February 2026 will be a council will host a public meeting here in the Boswell Town Hall. So that's the update on that one at the moment. 12 is operational matters. 12.1 is health and wellbeing. Mover please. Councillor Honour, Councillor Cassidy. Any comments, Councillor Honour?
No, I just had a question about the church one. Did you receive notification back from Stephen Savage?
Notification of?
About what was going on.
He was at the meeting.
He was there at the meeting.
Yeah. But this morning I received an email about it.
Oh, I haven't received, I haven't been on the email this morning yet.
So what's it say?
You would like to share that, Councillor?
Yeah, High Committee, James Oakley and Stephen, and I met with the Mayor and General Manager at the Council's Development Office on Thursday. The Council is, I think, more positive about acquiring our church and is putting effort into the process. The Council will hold a public meeting in the second half of January to put the proposal forward. Stephen will hold a Christmas service that's says 7th, but that's got to be finalised. It will be a final service and deconsecration will be carried out.
Good. That's good. They're listening. Thank you. Thanks, Councillor. Okay, back on to 12. I mentioned operational matters. 12.1, the recommendation of health and wellbeing, moved by Councillor Honour, second by Councillor Cassidy. Mover, do you have any comments? Councillor Cassidy as seconder. Council Lord, any comments to do with that? Very good. Okie dokie. We'll go on to 12.2, community grant request from the Hamilton Halloween Kids.
Can we put, the motion?
For
12.1.
12.1. Must be cup of tea time, eh?
All those in favour?
Those in favour of 12.1. Yep, that's carried. 12.2 is the Hamilton Halloween Kids Disco. Mover please. Councillor Honour, seconder. Councillor Hall. Councillor Honour, any comments to do with this?
I think it's a very good idea because there's not a lot held over in Hamilton, so it's a step forward with CAP organising, helping to organise it.
Thank you. Councillor Hall is the seconder.
I think it's a terrific idea, Mayor. It gets the kids in our community together in one big heap, and I think it's a good idea.
Very good. Councillor Miller.
In the past, when June and John have had the
the Hamilton Hotel. I know Gina used to put a lot of effort and time into making an event for the kids, but this has been a bit more difficult since it's changed, like the licensees changed hands. So this, and I know that the girls have all the mums have put a lot of time and effort into this, and I think again, yes, they need something over there. The CWA have done a great job here in Bothwell, but I think Hamilton and those coming from Ouse, it'll be great.
Thank you. Any other councillors' comments? Therefore, I'll put the recommendation. Oh, would you like to close, Councillor Honour?
Yeah, no, a very worthy cause.
Very good. Therefore, I'll put the recommendation forward. Those in favour, please raise your hands. Is there anyone against? Okay, that's carried. Councillor Cassidy.
I was just waiting for 12.3.
You are excited. Move to Councillor Cassidy. 12.3 is the website. Councillor Cassidy. Seconder?
Yeah.
Who's seconder? Oh.
Jim, all right, sir. That's Councillor, all right.
Councillor, all right. Okay, Councillor Cassidy as the mover.
I've sent around everybody information on website development. I had developed my own website back in February 2011. It's been up and running ever since. I've had no denials of service. Just like the recent Amazon problem that they've had. I've had no hacks. It's been very secure. I do all of the updating and design work and coding, etc. myself. I would like to perhaps amend this, if possible, to defer this website update. Because I think that we need to do a little bit more homework on this rather than just jumping right in. I personally don't care for any of these website examples, and I've given each of you statistics or information, SEO on the websites and so forth, I don't find them very satisfactory at all. I would like to encourage everybody to take a look at Lawn Systems website, for example. I think that one is very fit for purpose and looks very nice, but they're not among the list here. So I think that we need to consider a bit more before we just jump into spending $20,000. As I pointed out, for example, there are free WordPress business themes that can be had. I think that we could probably even pare this $20,000 down to something more reasonable.
Thank you. The seconder, Councillor Wright.
So it definitely needs upgrading. It's been sort of sitting there, let's say 13 years. I don't have the skills to really work out which one's going to be the best for us.
I know.
But I think we need some professional help here, councillor, rather than the councillor doing it. So, allocate 19,920, but one of the quotes is, we've already got 20 in the budget, is it?
Correct.
I understand that. So I don't know why we need to allocate it.
The thing being is that when I first started here, it's been an issue that council keeps saying our website's a disaster.
Yeah.
We go through a process and we put money in the budget to do the website. We talk about Launceston, they have slightly more money than us, and the amount they probably spent on it is substantially more than the $20,000 that council allocated. Kat spoke to me yesterday afternoon, extremely upset in regards to the notice of motion that Councillor Cassidy had put out, basically having a shot at her in the fact that this is, you know, she doesn't know what she's doing. This is the conversation that she had with me. I read it at the weekend and tried to ring Councillor Cassidy about it. he didn't ring me back. I think if council wants staff to do a job and gives them a budget and they go away and fit it into the budget for the best they can receive, they should be congratulated, not shot at. That's, unfortunately, that's where I sit.
So anyway, well, anyway, we've already got 20 grand in the budget anyway, so
why
is
this?
Why do we got to allocate? That was my question. Why are we got to allocate?
It's just for information to let council know that this is the person.
Yeah.
So that you can be comfortable that this is what we're going to get for what we want to spend.
Yeah. So
that's what it's all about.
Yeah. So that's fine.
Other councillors' comments? Councillor Meacham, you had your hand up.
The money involved relative to the task is extraordinarily good value. And I concur totally with what Steve has to say, Gene's said this to say. This is a really good way ahead, and I'm really pleased to see it happening.
So the proposals, we've got some Tassie Visuals, Walker Designs, Brave Agency, Design and Images. When was that advertised?
Kat contacted the one.
She invited them.
Yeah, she made inquiries with other councils to find out who they used, and then she communicated with us. Now, some of the ones have had smaller budgets and achieved their results. Unfortunately, we had an amount and we had to work to an amount.
So we didn't actually advertise it?
We didn't advertise it, no. She made communications with people. Yeah. So she's got quotes from at least three, which is in compliance with council's policy.
Okay. I would have thought we'd put an ad out so we get more choices. Councillors, up to you. Comments? Councillor Honour.
I think it's very well done. She needs to be congratulated on the work and the effort she has put in to obtain them.
Any other councillors? And I do take on board councillors Cassidy's offer to do that free of charge, and I'll send his photography as you have, which is very good.
Yes.
Alrighty, so the recommendation, I'll get you to close, Councillor Cassidy.
Well, I want to correct the general manager, okay? I wasn't taking a shot at anybody. I was informing, period. I provided information, take it or leave it. Do what you want to do.
Thank you.
I'm disclosing what a council staff member comment made to me.
Okay.
They're misinformed.
Not for argument or debate. Okay, it's closed. I'll put the recommendation forward. Those in favour of the recommendation, please raise your hands. Okay, so it's Councillor, please raise your hand again, I lost that one. Councillor Allwright, Miller, Archer, Honour, Meacham, Triffitt, Hall, and against, Councillor Cassidy and Triffitt. Thank you.
Mayor, if I may, was that two people or two bit?
Again, the it.
Yeah,
it's a bit tricky now, isn't it? I can't for two bit. It's an S, we always say, shall we?
Yes, we do.
Thirteen, operational matters. 13.1, Works and Services, Monthly Report. A mover, please, Councillor Honour. Seconder, Councillor Hall. Councillor Honour, would you like to speak to the Works and Services Report?
I would like to congratulate you on the condition of the roads with the weather that we have had. we actually went for the drive, even though we nearly got stuck on the floodway.
Yeah.
At Fashion. About halfway up the course, and we only just made it through because it was flooded. So is there anything that could be done, like to notify people, like it was all right our end, but coming from the other way, it's a long way through there to get to that area, and then you can't get through.
I suppose, I mean, they're all, they possibly could, but it's just the logistics of trying to be able to do it, Councillor Honour. Just with such a small crew and the amount of times it's probably in flood, how we would do it, I'm not sure. I mean, it'd have to be some sort of electronic signage or something placed somewhere, and we'd have to activate it when it was in flood.
Yeah, fingers like crossed on just another 2 foot.
Yeah. Yeah, so, which, you know, it is an issue, sure, for us players, people.
It may not happen again this.
Fingers crossed, that's what, let's hope that, you know, the renewal is a speedy process and you know, goes quicker than we.
Someone did bring up, well, they've finished the road at Glenora now, so couldn't that Bailey Bridge be brought up and put across?
I think once again, I think because I remember the bridge renewals, because it's the declared structure as part of state growth, so I think they looked at all those possibilities, and I think it was just financially not viable to do for, you know, what it would achieve. So, I mean, like I said, we've given 3 years, I think, for the bridge renewal, so...
Hopefully we'll have no more floods in that time.
Well, we've got another winter to go through, but, you know, I mean, as you say, for people that travel that way that are not familiar with the area, they're a non-resident, non-ratepayer, you know, from out of town, you know, it does become an issue. So, I mean, it's just logistically trying to do it with the works crew that we've got, and I suppose... The only thing I could think of, you know, we install electronic signage to say that it's, you know, not passable, and where you do that, and you'd have multiple entrances that you'd have to do it from as well, so...
Understand.
Yeah, so, but we'll pass on to the staff in relation to the roads, and we've got some grading to finish up around Moana, and that's just about most of our grading.
There's a big pothole coming at... Jones's Road, second entrance off the edge of the seal.
Okay.
A big deep one again.
Right, yeah, no, I'm sure they'll fix that. But yeah, so, but like I said, in the workshop, basically at the moment, for our staff, it's vegetation control, our weed spraying. So we are, it's going to be busy right through to Christmas, and how we are able to manage that just from the season that we've had, and it is difficult, so we'll just have to see how we go. But yeah, that's our where we're at the moment, really, vegetation control and spraying. And as you can imagine, the way the grass is growing, by the time we finish one town, it's start again, you know. So that's without doing anything else that crops up in the meantime, and our general maintenance. And trying to keep on top of our roading issues as well.
Thanks. Councillor Hall, you're the second.
Thanks very much, Jason, for notifying us about the tree in the park, the danger, the safety aspect of it. I mean, it was a safety issue. Thanks very much. You've done it on a Saturday night when it was windy.
Yeah, so, I mean, it was a difficult one to manage because of, obviously, how long the tree had been in Queen's Park. You know, I think... Over the last few years, we've actually had an arborist look at the tree, done some work on the tree, we've done some pinning on the tree, we've done some tree lopping, we've put some, I'm not sure what you call it, straps around the leaders in the tree, we've spent some money, you know, it was probably only 12 months ago I spent $1,200 on the tree. Unfortunately, it was too great a risk, I believe, for where it was located. I took some photos, and basically the pinning of the tree was the only thing that prevented it from falling over. There is a plaque beside the tree that's in relation to a park supervisor, a Mr Campbell, from 1942 to 82.
So I did actually contact the Campbells here in Bothwell on that Sunday, just explaining that the tree may have to be removed as soon as Monday, I just wanted to know if there was any specific meaning in that particular tree for that plaque. The family has stated, well, you know, if the tree is dangerous and it needs to be removed, then that's what needs to happen. So they'll notified of that, and we will replace and talk to most likely the Campbell family in relation to another appropriate tree for planting. As long as council are aware that there has been a lot of work going to, you know, the prevention of that tree over the journey. So, and unfortunately, the risk was too great, I believe. Especially the condition of it was, how it was in the end, and being right beside the play equipment, you know, and the likelihood of someone being in the park when it was windy, I believe would be high. Mm-hmm. So,
And in support of what Jason is saying, safety first, obviously, and I've spoken with the family and they would like a tree replaced.
Sure,
deciduous tree probably,
yep.
And they'll be in touch with Jason to replace that tree.
So yeah, no, I'll just...
I think everyone is quite happy with that outcome. Councillor Miller and Cassidy. And all right.
The new employees, Jason, are they the trainees and apprentices or...?
So they're just some casual staff at the moment. Oh. Yeah, yep. So, like I said, at the workshop, just because of our workload and with the current staff that we have away, the GM was kind enough to allow us to hire in some casuals just to help out up until Christmas. I mean, depending on the workload, that'll most likely go over Christmas. I suppose who knows what the future may hold. But, we advertise and got some local candidates. So,
No, that's good. Just the other, I've been using the Fernmaker Laneway. And that, the gravel area was looking quite good, except coming from the asphalt to the gravel on our end. There's about three big potholes. Right where the gravel hits there.
Look,
well, if you can get one of your guys to...
We'll cut it up in closed. You'll see that there's that project's.
The rest of it's
new. So we'll manage that.
Thanks,
Councillor
Cassidy. Then all right.
Yes, Jason. I just wanted to commend yourself and the work crews for High Street, the east end of High Street, the resheeting of that. It's smooth, you know, it's really a great job what you guys did, and you wrapped it all the way around that end property out there on the east end of the High Street, and I've noticed a bit of a hot patch here and there to fill in potholes around the Lockwell. I imagine you're going to continue that?
First off the road there in High Street, we'll pass that on to the staff, so as you know, that's just been an unformed road reservation forever basically, and I know there's some concerns with more traffic starting to use it, so the guys reshooted it and turned the unformed into an unsealed road reservation, so which is good. I'll pass on to them. As for the potholes around the town, I mean, that's just ongoing maintenance. I know you spoke about it on Councillor Cassidy at the workshop, and we're only a band-aid fix, but you know, hopefully, coming into the summer, we won't have as many, you know. It's just been due to the weather and that, but yeah.
Lastly, I just want to encourage if and when the Mayor and Stephen and yourself speak to the Campbell family, if they could, you could encourage them to plant some native type of a tree right there in this place.
Yeah, no, definitely I'll mention that, but I suppose we'll see what they come back with. And
okay, Councillor, all right.
That's great, Jason. Question. Maryvale Road, where's that?
Off Rotherwood Road.
Oh, down here. And Rose Hill Road down there as well.
Well, Rose Hill was off Aberdeen, Weatherin, the little
town. So
technically, it's all on Council's roading network, Weatherin Road, but on Google it's Aberdeen. And the Rose Hill Road on Council's Roading Network is Rose Hill, but on Google it's Little Den Road.
Okay.
Yes, so there is a little bit of confusion with those couple, but Merivale's...
I haven't actually ever heard of that. That's the same with that Longwood Road and what we call, they're different names.
I mean, Merivale would probably be 500 metres long.
Never heard of it.
Alrighty, any other questions for our works and services? Thank you, Jason, you've done a great job.
I'll pass on to staff to those compliments.
Thanks
very much. Okay, so the recommendation was moved by Councillor Honour, second by Councillor Hall. Councillor Honour, would you like to close?
They've just been doing an excellent job with the weather conditions.
Very good, thank you. So therefore I will put the recommendation forward. Those in favour of the recommendation, please raise your hand, and that is carried with a rubber limb. Very good. Now, we've really got the towns looking great at the moment. 14 is operational matters. 14.1. Thank you, Jody. 14.1 is the monthly finance report. Recommendation, move or close, Councillor Cassidy. Seconder. Councillor Midler. Okie dokie. Councillor Cassidy, any comments on the finance report?
No, I just hand it over to the Vision because I had a few questions and he called me and explained everything in detail. It was an excellent contribution to my understanding, and that was followed up by Stephen Mackey. So.
I think Vision is doing a wonderful job. The seconder is Councillor Miller.
I just had a query on page, page 32. It's the community, no it's not, it's community partnership with the Brighton Family Daycare. I can't remember seeing that before, maybe it was just in black. But I'm just wondering why, are we paying them?
Yeah, yes, we do. We've had that for ages.
Yeah. I know, it just came.
Councillor Archer?
Yes, I'm just wondering, the problem we've had this year with our budget, missing items, what's been put in place to make sure it doesn't happen again? How did it happen? What's the background of all that?
So we actually missed with the resheeting budget. This one on GDL?
Absolutely. I don't understand that you missed from year to year.
So yearly actually, the David Deloitte actually, he yearly...
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
David actually yearly actually, each year, he actually put in the budget without asking the Jason and Barry. But because I was making a budget this financial year, so I hand over to the managers and asking them whatsoever the budget is required, they have to be put the budget items into the budget.
Mm-hmm.
So that's their job to be responsibility to be make sure that all the budgets they have, either the work services or capital expenditures and those kind of budgets, they have to put in place. So I did actually talk to Jason and Barry a few times, but unfortunately it was happened. But it won't be happening next financial year, because if I'm making budgets, I know actually they always been carried over to the next financial year. And this time when I actually bring it on to Jason Barry, now they are more aware on that. Like, they have to be called through thoroughly on each item.
So I don't understand. Basically, it was omitted by the Works and Services fellows to pass the word on to you. Isn't there a check? Like last year, there must have been, this is how much we spent.
Yep.
I don't understand how I just missed the pot this year.
So budget actually is dropped in basis of the departments.
Mm-hmm.
So I do it, when I drop my budget, I actually go to each individual department and asking for their own recommendations. So operation services is always being carried over. It's but the capital expenditure, capital budget, we do get the recommendations by the councillors and the work managers and the deputy managers and so on. So I do actually go to see them, all of them, asking for the what they want to be put into the budgets. So whatsoever they give it to me in by written in paper, I'd actually make it draft in the budget. And that actually wasn't a part of that actually budget. until when we had a discussion, I had a discussion with Jason Barry in regards to reshading for on this financial year, and then we looked under the budget and it wasn't there. Because Jason actually assumed that it's always been carried over each year without actually being asked by,
exactly what you'd expect. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's why he was assuming that it's going to be carried over. But I was actually a new person, and my approach is always be like, whatsoever I've been getting the recommendations by the councillors and the managers, because that's upon their duty and responsibility to be looking after their budgets, workmen especially, like to be like whatsoever they wanted to be carried over for the next financial year, and what are the new projects they're going to be started for the next financial year. So that's how I dropped the budget for this financial year.
But can't we put it in place, or I assume that would be in place, red flag, so you can see it costs us $400,000, it's not $20, that was spent last year that hasn't been picked up in our budgeting process. How do we put in place through your skills to make sure that doesn't go through the keeper again?
So it won't be given again, because it's already been alarmed on, I already spoke to Jason and Barry on that one, like,
well, yeah, that's right, but we need you to pick it up for us, you know, it needs to be
picked up. Yeah, that's why actually I'm saying, like, reshading is always being carried over, mm-hmm. but I wasn't aware of it, it's because the council, I was working with the private sector before, not with the councils, mm-hmm. and I've been working with this council for 15 months, and that was my first budget to be bringing on, and if I was actually working with the council before, with this council, then I would have picked up before. Not only that, actually, it's the work and service manager's responsibility to be make sure that whatsoever the budget item is, they should actually, you know, let the accountant know that these are the things they need to be put into the budget. Doesn't matter it's carried over, doesn't matter it's actually been assumptions, doesn't matter it's a new, that's their responsibility to be make sure that all the budget, all the capital budget items, they have to be let the accountant know about to be making for the next financial year.
Well, what I don't want you to think for a moment, this is a criticism. It's not a criticism at all. It's there's no criticism here, but what I'm looking for is putting in place a system so that we pick it up next time. And I imagine you've got those skills, and will we get a red flag if there's a significant change from the budget next time, so that we just don't miss the items?
Yeah, so with the reshading, it won't be misplaced, because I already raised this issue with the managers.
No, it's not the managers, it's your job.
Hang on, just a moment.
Just as a matter of interest, it's not Zeeshan's job.
No.
It is not Jason's job. It's the GM who is accountable for the documentation that is put to council.
Correct.
So, we don't have a shot at the accountant.
No.
The simple facts are, it should have been checked, I should have been able to have picked it up, wasn't aware of it, it came through. Now, what we did at the end of the day is, after we discovered that there was a problem with it, Jason came and saw me. No sense in ranting and raving about it, the simple fact is we went through to try and determine how best to be able to get it back in the budget with minimal impact on what had been already adopted by council. So that's where it sits. If you need to shoot someone,
we shoot. Yeah, good. So from now on, as I've always said, if you have any queries about agenda items, finance reports, or anything else, please contact the person, the manager, whoever, the acting GM prior to the meeting. Thank you. So that was moved by Councillor Cassidy, second by Councillor Miller. Those for the recommendation.
I have not spoken less. Yeah.
I haven't
let
you close, Councillor, so don't worry. That's
okay, thank you. I just wanted to point out that, if everybody's forgotten, the late David Doyle, there was a transition period between David and Zeeshan coming on board, and we also had a transition between general manager and acting general manager. So it's not inconceivable that this stuff would not fall through the cracks. That's what happened. Simple human error. And like I said, just because we had all these different people coming in at different times, stuff happens, okay?
Exactly right. Mm. Thank you.
You do a great job, Zeeshan.
He does. Thank you, Zeeshan. That's a very good report.
Even though Councillor Cassidy's closed debate, he pointed out that there's a spelling error
economic in the community economic report, which has been corrected, and pointed out also that under the investments there's $88,000, but it says a church. It's now been stipulated exactly what that church is, so
very good.
We know exactly what it's about.
Thank you, Stephen. Alrighty, without any further ado, councillors, I shall put the recommendation forward. Those in favour of the recommendation, please raise your hand. Is there anyone against? No, that is carried. Really appreciate it, Vision. You've
Thank
done
you.
Well. Now, before we have a quick break, I would like you all to line up around behind me, and we have our little photo taken for the Highlands Digest with our new councillor.
Yeah.
So we're going for a break now for 10 minutes only. So a quick photo, a cup of tea, and back to the table, please. We'll resume the meeting.
You end up with problems in, insurance-wise down the track. That's the reason why it's done this way.
I can never have.
We're up to 14.2. Is that correct? Yes. Request for rate remission, Wellington Ski and Outdoor Club. A mover, please. Councillor Honour. A seconder. Seconder, please.
14.2.
14.2. A seconder, please. As a mover, Councillor Honour, do you have any comments about Wellington Ski Club?
Yes, it's a very handy place, especially in inclement weather. And yeah, there's no facilities out there whatsoever, so they do a good job, the group, or the club, to keep it up and running for people to use.
Thank you. Councillor, all right, the seconder.
So this is an annual one we do, and it's a public safety, whatever. I've used it. Can I ask the general manager, can we use it as evidence why we should be able to rate up at Pump House Point?
Say that again.
Well, we're allowed to rate this one, and we rate it, but that's not our thing. But we can't rate Pump House Point. That'd be worth a lot.
I raised this issue with the LGAT. I couldn't go to the last GM's workshop, but the question was raised, and no other council seems to have a problem with it. I do, in the fact that we have commercial businesses that are in competition with both Bernacki and with Pump House Point. My advice that I've been given so far is that because both properties are valued under our on the rough, but there must be a lease agreement that they both companies have that means that they're exempt from paying rates. So I think our next step is to take it up with the government and ask why.
Yeah. So there's no exemption with these two here.
No.
Like it's still a lease.
Yeah. But the thing is, we're talking about serious commercial development.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Which is Pump House Point and the lights, and yet they're able to not pay rates.
Yeah.
Malvina will be the same.
There's no doubt. There's no doubt. Yeah. But the thing is, the valuer general saw fit to actually value these two properties, but it looks as though that the agreements, the leases or licences or whatever they have,
gives them an exemption.
They've been made exempt. Well, why?
Anyway, we should use that now as an example of where the system doesn't work, because we're allowed to rate these ones, even though we do rebate it, but we're not allowed to rate the other two.
No.
Yeah, that's quite interesting. Councillor Cassidy.
So basically it's a double standard?
You said words, yes.
It's part of the problem is that under national competition policy, there should be no advantage to a company on the fact that they are on either Crown or on Crown land, and it's quite clear that the government have circumvented that.
Yeah.
It's a bit like when we took up the argument of raising the hydro and we were told by the LGAT that no, we shouldn't do that because there's already been policies put in place. But since that was put in place, the world shifted. And the government have used numerous methods to circumvent the obligations under national competition policy, and it needs to be challenged.
Yeah. Thank you. Councillors, any comments? Okay, back to the mover, Councillor Honour, to close.
Yes, it's a very worthwhile building out there.
Thank you. Okay, those in favour of the recommendation, please raise your hands. Thank you, that is carried. 14.3 Annual Budget Estimates 2025-2026 Budget Variance. Mover, please. Councillor Cassidy, seconder. Councillor Orr. As the mover, Councillor Cassidy, would you like to speak?
We already discussed this in the financial report. I think we can move on.
Thank you. Councillor, all right.
That was pretty much close to what I was going to say.
Thank you.
There's been some good savings. So, yeah.
Councillor, any comments? Okay, therefore I'll put the recommendation forward. Those in favour, please raise your hands. Very good. That is carried. 14.4 Great Lake Community Centre. Now, I was a little bit concerned. Isn't this our building? Can you explain, please, Acting Julian?
All I'm aware of in this process is the council has been asked to be involved in the Telstra messaging. I'm not sure that a building or whatever is of great concern, but it's the fact that we're involved in this system, and we just have to report back to them any failings that we think we have in the system.
Okay. That's fine. Thank you. I'll take them over. Councillor Cassidy, Councillor Meacham, Councillor Cassidy, was it?
Second.
Okay, Councillor Cassidy. And then I noticed that Councillor Arthur just got his hand up to speak in a moment. Back to you as the mover, Councillor Meacham.
This is worthy of, thoroughly worthy of endorsement. The existing, in the large public area of the community centre, the existing heating system which was in the ceiling was outrageously expensive to run and ran the centre close to a deficit, you know, just about in every cycle. Credit, in particular to Ralph Berg, for pushing through getting grants that enabled heat pumps to be fitted instead and dramatically reduced their heating bill. But that addresses only, and you'll have the opportunity to see this on November 1. The problem is that if you go through the doors towards the latter, third of the Maslin place, it is cold, really cold.
Let's back up that corridor where the toilet is.
That's right, so there's office on the right hand side, a couple of toilets, storerooms, etc., and it's outrageously cold. Keep in mind that the committee themselves are offering to do all the labour on this installation. It's a great step forward to financial viability of the place, and I thoroughly endorse it.
Can the committee do the labour because it's a council building? I'm not sure where we stand, where we lie with that.
They've made it quite clear that they're prepared to do the labour component.
Yep.
As a BATS, I would assume that they'd know the rules in regards to how to do it, but I'll talk to Jason and make sure he keeps an eye on it.
Okay.
Bearing in mind that the answers I gave to your first question related nothing to this one we're talking about.
I did wonder.
Yes, so a couple of points. If you recall, we had pipes freeze up there at one time, and they had to do a heck of a lot of work replacing that. It was expensive. So this insulating the roof ceiling, et cetera, might help to mitigate that.
Yeah.
I'm hoping there's a pipe lagging up there. Perhaps sometime in the future we might consider solar panels for the roof up there. And the last point that I want to make, if everybody recalls, I forget which Prime Minister it was now, Rudd or somebody, I don't know, but there was somebody who was killed in an attic replacing insulation, so electrocuted, so we want to be sure that whoever installs it is doing it according to standard and best practice.
Exactly. Councillor Archer, then
Miller. I think this is something we could easily get grants for. There are a lot of grants around for this sort of building efficiency now. I'm not saying we shouldn't do it, I think we should. But I think that there is the opportunity to get government grant funding for these type of projects. Stephen, you can't think of anything off the top of your head where we...
The only ones I can think of have been in regards to solar.
Well, most of the grants that I'm aware of are for things like, I know they certainly got for the Southern Highlands scheme to put on all the solar panels and things to boost that, so obviously organisations rather than individuals can get the funds. I'm staggered that it hasn't been done already. I assume that the first thing you do in that environment would be to stick insulation in. It's amazing to me that it hasn't been done, but I am nervous about community group doing the work. I think that's setting us up for potentially a hazardous situation. But I think we should do it, but I'd also like us to explore if there isn't a grant that we can get to do a significant amount of the cost.
Yeah, okay, we'll do that.
Thank you. Councillor Miller, then, all right.
My one concern is that if they were willing to do their own installation, how do we go with insurance if anything happens? I would be very reluctant, unless there is a qualified person that does it, overseeing it, I'd be very reluctant to let we've got to thank them for doing it, for saying that they would do it. But insurance-wise, I'd be very reluctant to let them do it.
Well, yeah, it's the council-owned building, the council responsibility. Councillor, all
right. No, let's do it. Think about it, we'll work right down there, that's simple as. But my question is, R6, that's just a standard wall insulation, it's not a ceiling insulation. So that's what my question is.
That's a very good point, Jim.
I thought the ceiling insulation would have had a higher rating. That's all. So anyway, we could Google that. That was my comment. I don't know, Steve might know that something.
No, I was talking about the wrong motion in the first place anyway. So,
well, that's great.
Yeah. But the thing is,
gonna let you go.
But I'll Google that. Ceiling is, someone Google it. Look, who knows how to use it.
What I'll do is I'll communicate with them and I'll find out exactly.
Because if it's an 8 or a 10, which I thought it was, it's going to be slightly
more. I'd say it's going to be more than slightly more.
I don't know, it's just extra thickness.
I think what we need to do in the future is to make sure these community groups are well in advance of what they require, so that they can be put in the budget.
They missed the scene to do it. They should have been doing it in April.
Well,
at Easter time. That's what they'll do.
Councillor
Honor. On Google it says between R4 to R6 for ceilings.
I've got that wrong. Sorry.
Any other councillor comments?
I thought it was...
All right, so the mover, would you like to close?
Look at the advice, thank you Mr. Loring, the advice from him is that the R5 issue, so R5 would be the minimum for an Alpine standard, so the R6 actually...
R6 sounds
exceeds the minimum Alpine standard.
Mm. Yeah.
In relation to safety issues, I note that, I do admire this place and what it has done with voluntary labour. A lot of the work in the in the community makers shed and in the greenhouse there. A lot of that work has been done by voluntary labour.
They have the skills.
They have the skills to do it. So just moreover, as far as the space is concerned, you've got earth leakage protection there.
Yeah.
It's a modern building, it's got earth leakage
protection.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
Anyway, that goes over to the SDG and to take that on board, if you will. Okay.
Vote.
Okay, you're very eager to vote. Those in favour of the recommendation, pardon me, please raise your hand. That is carried.
Councillors, we've been asked by Telstra if we would like to be part of the satellite mobile messaging trial in the state. They're currently working in Launceston and they thought we would be also a good municipality, seeing we cover 12% of the state and we have a reasonable number of mobiles that will work using this technology, and they would just like us to trial it for 4 months and to give them feedback on any issues. There will be issues with this type of service. As you can see, you can't text to 000, which is a problem, and you can't receive those messages if there was like a fire or something like that, and the state government is sending a message out to say to evacuate an area. You will not receive it through this type of trial at this stage. So unless the technology changes, there will be limitations to it, but there'll also be limitations on how long it does take you to send a text and receive a text. So that would be interesting, but look, I think it would be good for our works manager and our work supervisor and a number of people that are up in the Highlands to have this product for a period of time to see if it does work, and maybe if it does work, that we include as part of our government service in our contract. But there will be an extra charge. They haven't stated what that charge is. They assume it might only be $10 a month. But look, I'd have to wait to see the fine print before we looked at it. But there's no issue if we opt in for 4 months that we can't be stopped out at the end of it. And if we want to go to another carrier, we go to another carrier. Yeah.
Okay, the second
account for Kevin. Yes, well, is with any type of communications, especially satellite communications or GPS, it's still line of sight, so maybe, Adam, I was going to suggest that when you've got your work crew up there in the Highlands and they're down in gullies and valleys and so forth, that might be the true test to see if they've got coverage. Because there may be shadowing by ridge lines or whatever. So again, it's all line of sight based.
These are satellites.
The satellites, the line of sight.
I'd like to say, it'd be good to try to test it at, say, maybe Taralea, where you've got the Nile River Bridge there, where you're between the gully of the two power stations. There's limited sky there. And if it worked in an area like that, the likelihood is going to work in probably 99.9% of the municipality.
Palantir too.
Another one. Okay, thank you, Adam. With this then, the recommendation says that the report be noted. Councillor
Meacham,
do you want to speak first?
Jim, I seem to remember Rebecca White referring to this and the progression of the trial.
Yeah,
that this trial be is part of a progression to...
No, this is part of that one.
Yeah.
That's what I think. Yeah.
Thank you. Councillor, for your information, we're also looking at another trial, which is to Node, where we currently have some new recovery trailers, and we're looking at putting recovery nodes on that. That Telstra, we're hoping that Telstra are going to come back with a trial on that as well, for a 4-month trial for us to trial for emergency management, where we can put it on the trailer and take the trailer anywhere in the state, and then that would actually give a, I think it's a 20 metre circular area that anyone in that area would have a hotspot.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so like if you had a recovery centre at Myena, or you had to go out to, you know, Butler's Gorge, or you had to go up to Lake St Clair, you would be able to take this trailer and it would actually give people in the community internet for a period of time. Mm. So we're hoping that we'll hear more information about that over the coming weeks.
Adam, as you reported, it's been reported by you, the recommendation, should that have more information to it?
Well, it's really just an operational matter under the Acting General Manager, where we just really want to allow councillors to know that the technology is out there and that we're trialling it, just in case someone asks you. And also to get it out to the community that hopefully this technology is coming for everyone.
Okay. Over to you now, Stephen. The recommendation sufficient? Just to the report be noted?
Well, I don't think I'll shoot Adam. He's put the recommendation forward. So,
no, yeah, I didn't mean that. I mean, is that enough information for that recommendation?
Well, quite clearly, yes.
Okay.
It's only a trial. It's not costing us anything.
Okay. Rightio, so the recommendation will go back to Councillor Honour to close.
Yes, thank you, Adam. Yes, it's very informative.
Thank you. Those in favour of the recommendation, please raise your hand. Very good, thank you. I remember Adam and I went all over the Highlands testing mobile coverage. We spent a day, didn't we? It was quite interesting. 15, operational matters arising. 15.1, Derwent Catchment. May I have a mover? Councillor Miller has her hand up. And Councillor Miller.
I know we've got a lot of mention first
there.
All right,
small right. No,
we'll put all right.
Don't buy
hungry. Okay. Moved by Councillor Miller, second by Councillor Allwright. Councillor Miller, back to you as the mover.
I had a good read of the Derwent Catchment project. I wasn't all that happy to hear that about the decline of the cider gums. However, it was great to hear that the landholder, Jason Whitehead, seeding, putting in seedlings. But I'm just wondering, the seedlings he got was 80 seedlings from the Hamilton Nursery. I wonder if the council could do more to encourage others in that area to put in more seedlings, even if we offer a certain number of trees per person to be able to boost the amount of cider gums we've got, because if they're in the decline and we're trying to save the species, it's not a good look.
Yeah, and it's good that the Tasmanian Aboriginal Land Manager have undertaken the cultural government, Goulburn, to manage the pupos and protect those young trees. So, I find that very interesting as well. Who was the second councillor? All right, any comments there?
Oh, no, not really. I just thought that fly might have started actually on cutting down the willows by now, but anyway. Yeah. I'll find out what's going on there with regard to the cider gum. The interesting thing, if I can talk to councillor Miller, the interesting thing about cider gum is that unless they're up in the central plate, they don't operate as a side again, they operate as something else.
Yeah.
So you can't just give them to people around Bothwell or Hamaroo. And someone at Hollow Tree got a heat and planted them and they've all died. There's a good garden for them.
You've got but, to
it's sort of not really something that council can do much for.
Councillor Cassidy and then Archer.
If I could ask Jim, on the page of 48, figure 3.
Let's have a look.
I'm showing on
48.
Page 48.
But
I was going to ask, where are these cytokines? I mean, I wouldn't mind going up there to see them myself.
You can't miss them as you're driving into...
I'm sorry?
As you're driving into the lake, they're the last batch of trees before the lagoon. You can't miss them on the left.
Yeah, but there's some in behind the Steps Hall, the church there, but that mostly died. There's others on private, probably in over along St Patrick's Plain where the big water hole is on the left. Yeah. We've got to go in there, find some. I don't know quite where they are. I think there's a fenced off piece just before you get on the hill, over Shannon Lagoon, and it's fenced off and got
that's
the
where I yeah.
But I don't know that they've done particularly well.
They're fenced off to be protected.
Yeah, just on the side of the road, they've got that possum fence, floppy fence thing. It's not the possum spot. I think they are side guns, but I don't know that they'll be covered before.
Councillor Archer.
Mayor, if you look at the report that was prepared by the EPA on the cider gums within the area for wind farm, it said their total area is less than 100 hectares, that they thrive on the edge of frosty areas where there's a swamp. So they're looking at they grow specifically in very limited habitat, so it has to be above a certain altitude, beside a swamp, wet in frost. And I note that the EPA approved the wind farm there, even though it shows that the average temperature change over the site will be 2 degrees, which will push them out of their habitat range.
Yeah.
The Land Council, Aboriginal Land Council, would always be happy to give information for that. Councillor Meacham.
Simply just in terms of swapping them at the corner of the Todd's Corner Road. Have a look for the plastic collars around the trees there.
Yeah.
This is designed to keep possums from during the land.
Has that been successful there?
I think so. Well, the collars have remained.
You're
finished, are you?
Yeah, thanks, John. Yeah.
So, just a question. So you're saying on St Patrick's Plains of these cider gums?
Yeah.
So is the proposed wind farm, is that going to affect any of these cider gums or...?
That's what I'm concerned.
Absolutely. Yep. Yeah. The whole area of the habitat is within the wind farm and the average temperature change over the site is 2 degrees Celsius.
2 degrees.
And they're right on the brink now of being in trouble. And some other things that I thought were bizarre about the approval was instead of getting roads to divert well away from the cider gums, they were allowed some to go right through cider gum plantations.
I'm not really sure about that. But
well,
the money,
read the report.
I think you're wrong.
Yeah. Fantastic. I'm just making another comment about Thieves. I've found a heap more further out, sort of, what's that way, east. Northeast of St Patrick Plain, out on Soldier Marsh, if anyone knows any Almatea. They found that they didn't know they existed. They found a few more out there.
We could get some Tasmanian Aboriginal land managers come in and discuss.
Agreed.
You'd like?
Agreed. Yes, agreed.
We could invite them.
Yes.
Yes.
Give us a bit of an update. So we'll put that on our list, please, Acting GM. Any other comments? Councillor Laws? Okie dokie. Close, Councillor Miller?
Yes, it says here in their report here
A Cockatoo Hills landholder, Jason Whitehead, has been nurturing an ex-situ population style gums. Now these were grown from seeds collected from the Great Pine Tier and propagated at the Hamilton Nursery. Now over the 7 years there's 80 seedlings have been established, correct, but he's only lost three. So he really has done a marvellous job with these. And he's got another 50 additional seedlings that he wants to put into the wild. So he's doing a wonderful job. Now this is what I say about if we can get, I mean I wasn't saying getting people down here putting cider gums in, but if he can do it, then we can encourage others to do it up in that area, and we can find the areas that they will grow in. Then I think it's up to the council to do as much as they can with these trees. Only 10% of the individuals that are out. What did we say? There was survey results. 1,650 mature trees had declined from 2,838. In 2010, and only 10% of the individuals are in good health. So we're now talking about a species that is under threat that we could lose. And I think it's up to the council then to step up and say, right, we need to do something with this and encourage others. I mean, if Jason's done it, we can get the information from him how he's done it. And how he's been so successful in it, and let's push it to the rest of the community up there.
And I think the first thing would be to invite the Land Council,
yep,
Land Council, get a discussion going, go from there. I think that might be.
I'd also like to see Jason down here as well to talk about it, because he's been so successful with it.
Okay, so we'll go back to the recommendations. Councillor Miller has closed. Those for the recommendation, please raise your hand. That is carried, thank you. What's that?
Hey, yeah, mate, you can get cut if you need.
Okay, 16 operational matters. 16.1 is development and environmental services. Councillor Honour to move that. Councillor Cassidy to second it. Councillor Honour as the mover, do you have anything to say? Read the report.
It is very straightforward. I've got this thing where people are changing the use to visitor accommodation, and they're still paying normal rates as everyone else. They should be paying business rates.
Mm. Okay.
And I've been on for this bit for a few years now. I'm not against them, but I think they should be paying more than the average person.
Welcome, Louisa.
No.
Okay, as a seconder, Councillor Cassidy.
Well,
we're on 16.1.
The only thing I wanted to ask Stephen, Acting GM, is the status of the DES manager position.
Can you answer that in
audio,
or can
you
answer that close issue?
That's really got nothing to do with this.
Well,
so
that's environmental
services. We had a discussion about this at a workshop, and it's going to be the subject of a report to council.
I'll answer that.
Councillor Mason?
I wholly endorse Councillor Honour on that point. You have local commercial enterprises that pay a lot more than these conversion to Airbnbs. I've raised this before. I think there's 32 advertised in big type places around Maina, they should be paying more than the standard rates. I know that's got no enthusiasm around the table. I've tried flying it before.
Okay. Any other councillors comments? No? Okay, go back to councillor Honour to close.
Yeah, no, that's all I've got to say, that I think it should be brought in, that if they're going to turn the places into accommodation ones, Airbnb, etc., that they pay a bigger rate. Probably not as big as a big hotel, commercial one, but I think substantially more than the normal rate.
Yeah, I think that's something.
All right, any comments?
Look, Hobart's done it because they've put a different rate in regards to those properties.
Yeah.
As Councillor Meacham has said, I think he tested the water and didn't get it over the line. The other option we can do is try the valuer general and say that technically these are a change of use and see whether they're prepared to put a... instead of it being probably 4% of the AAV, 6, 7 or 8% of the AAV. I don't like our chances, but we can try.
Okay. Would we be happy, Council would be happy for us to leave that to Stephen to draft a letter?
No, I don't think it's been in to do with the discussion at hand there.
Anthony, you've got a conflict, I think.
Oh, I suppose, yeah, one partner has, that's right.
Alrighty, so we'll leave that one to the General Manager.
Fruit of the Keeper.
What was that?
Fruit of the Keeper, I said.
Rightio. Any other questions, Councillor? Right. So we'll go back to the mover to close. Councillor Honour.
Yeah, I did close.
Oh, I fell asleep, have I?
Yep.
All right. So the recommendation, please raise your hands in favour. Carried, thank you.
Motion of intention to make a bylaw. Okie dokie, mover, please. Councillor Miller, Councillor Meacham, I think it was. Yes. Councillor Miller, off you go. Right. The bylaws for the, to permit the occupancy of caravans. I've been doing a fair bit of research with this one amongst the other councils. For the life of me, think which councils do it, but some of them allow a timeline for people living on their property for building their permanent dwelling. I'd like to take that into consideration, but it needs to be a specific timeline and not, oh, well, no, I need another 6 months or something like that. But also these caravans, especially in the day and age that we've got them, they have to be self-contained and not live there like full-time. I mean, I've had that next to me. Thank God they got rid of the thing. But anyway, and it was an eyesore. So I understand that some caravans can be eyesores, but I think we need to make consideration for those that want to move here, make it easier for them to move here to build, if we can give them some consideration in the bylaws about allowing them to live in a proper caravan, not just a shed, while they're building, and give them the time limit to do it.
Yeah, and councillors are aware that the conclusion of this report was Central Highlands Council Caravans bylaw has expired, and that a new bylaw will be required to regulate the use of caravans in the municipality, and to commence that it has to pass a resolution by absolute majority that it intends to make a bylaw, just to keep that in mind as well. The seconder is Councillor Meacham.
Yeah, and just endorsing your point there, this, this motion is about plugging a gap in our regulatory framework.
Correct.
That was recently exposed. We need to correct this.
Okay, Councillor Cassidy. All right, Mark.
So, will this bylaw be updated. Also, I think that we need to define what is a caravan. Also, we should keep in mind that there are folks who cannot afford to build a granny flat, or maybe cannot even afford to build a house, and they need to have that caravan on their property to reside in, or to have relatives or whomever reside in them. So I don't think that we should, as a council, harm the community in any way in this regard, but there should be a standard, there should be a law, and I think that defining what is a caravan and so forth is an essential part of that.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor,
all right, Nacho? I think if my memory is correct, we put development about 8-10 years ago. Really designed, as David said, to plug a bit of a regulatory gap. I mean, people were just, it's not so much living in the caravan, but they were just parking them on the side of the road and just clogging up the roads. I don't think we dealt with people living in a caravan while they're building a house. I mean, obviously, the planning of the building doesn't go ahead as planned. Like, councils can't just kick them out. So, that's just one of those things we've got to do. It's just a gap in the system. And for some reason, with council, that this won't expire, we've had to give all the money back.
Councillor Archer.
Mayor, I just think that the we need to fill the gap, as other council have said, but I am concerned that the people that generally this would apply to may have limited means, and that's why they find themselves in a caravan, and I think there, that the grace of God walks high, we should be setting the fee at a cost recovery basis rather than $2,500 up. I endorse the Burnt Valley Council's $834 per application. If that comes across.
You're on the next
you're
slide.
You're on the
wrong
one.
Oh, on the side.
Yep.
Oh, I thought there was the same motion. Or
no.
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 No. No. No. No, I'm sorry about that.
So I think we go back to the current bylaw that's expired, and council need to...
It's been amended. It's been through the solicitor. The solicitor has gone through it with a fine-tooth comb and come back with numerous comments in regard to it. It's now at the stage where council needs to adopt this so that we can go to the next step.
So has council seen?
I think it was saying that
information.
Not people with actually not a lot of money.
I was just having a look. I thought it might have been attached.
People have two caravans and park them outside the front of their house.
Yeah.
That's what it's aimed at, not people who want to live in a caravan.
Yeah. We need to adopt it.
You can get permits to do that and you
go through the process.
Okay, so at the moment we're just adopting it to go through the process.
We intend to make the proposed caravan under the provisions of the Local Government Act. Yeah, so basically that's what it is. We'll provide council with all the copies of it, and when it comes back we'll just go through the process and make sure that you're comfortable with what's there.
Okay. Councillor Cassidy, you've got your hand up.
Yes, I wanted to ask Stephen, did I hear you correctly that it's already gone out for community consultation?
No, it hasn't. It's gone.
It'd be good.
Can we have Louise respond to Councillor Cassidy?
Do you want to finish,
Councillor? Oh, I just was going to ask, when we do have community consultation, any written representations, or would it be good for council to see them? I would like to see what folks have to say.
Yeah, I wanted to share the experience of Southern Midlands Council's caravan policy. So we have a caravan policy, which is adopted by council, but policies aren't enforceable. Bylaws are enforceable. Yeah. That's why they're much better to have. But our caravan policy allows people to live in their caravan on the property with a valid planning permit for a dwelling whilst you're building the dwelling. Now, we've talked a little bit about time scales. Your planning permit lasts for 2 years, but once you've substantially commenced, then it's ongoing. So I don't know how you could look at putting time limits on people living in the caravan. And my second point, which we've all talked about today, which is people living in caravans versus sheds. Sheds, you know, as we know, people are finding it very hard at the moment to have enough money to live, build a house, etc. Caravans are safer to sleep in than converted sheds. So the caravan policy, in my mind, looks at that issue of living in a caravan whilst you're building a house. But obviously you can have caravans on your property,
yeah,
and there's nothing preventing you from having, I don't know, a teenager sleeping in your caravan on your property with a house that's already built.
Okay, thank you.
Unless that is the bylaw just looking at caravans whilst you're building a house.
No, it's storing caravans on storing properties as well. Yeah, it is.
Right.
Yep. If you note in step 4.1, council must provide at least 21 days for submissions to be lodged. So it's got to be advertised.
Yeah, published at least in the newspaper, on the website, and displayed to council officers.
Yep.
Any other comments, councillors? No? Alrighty, back to you, Councillor Miller, to close.
Just to reply to Councillor Cassidy's comment on what actually constitutes a caravan. I've seen so many tiny homes, and God knows, I don't want to see another one for the next 10 years, going through all of them to find a granny flat. Some of them are actually on wheels. Some of them that you're going to have to be careful. If we have to define what a caravan is, you're going to have to look at some of these tiny homes that are coming out, because as I said, they are on wheels. There was one I was looking at from the mainland that could be plugged into my son's house without any authority. And they say that, and a lot of them say, oh, you don't need council permission for it, so you're gonna put, it's something, it's just not as black and white as you think,
no.
Especially these days with a lot of the homes and these granny flats and mobile homes, container homes. There's a lot out there that I think we're going to have to look into when we look at this bylaw.
I think it'll take a workshop to...
So what's the question?
Sorry?
Solicitor questions.
Look, the thing being is that quite clearly, as I said, the solicitor has gone through, because there's a process we've got to go through with the director before we can take it to the next stage. It's got that far. Now, quite clearly, we have to put it out once we adopt or approve it. We put it out for public comment, and that doesn't preclude council making comment on what you see in it. So, yeah.
Yes.
There's a very big difference in terms of planning and building standards between a caravan and a tiny home.
Thank you.
We are talking about caravans that can be towed,
yep,
and are not plumbed into the ground. As soon as you start talking about something being plumbed into a ground, into the ground, we see it as a dwelling.
Yeah,
a dwelling. Not because, a tiny
yeah,
home.
Because a lot of them, I have seen,
thank you, Ron,
state them as tiny homes.
Yeah.
But they're all here.
Yes.
Alrighty. Okay, so without further ado, you have closed, Councillor Miller. So I will put the recommendation forward. Those in favour, please raise your hand. Okay, is there anyone against? I can't see Councillor Archer. In favour, Councillor? Okay, that is carried.
I've got a second hand.
Yeah, I'll have a job
for the one
behind Councillor Miller.
You say no,
I won't say anything. 16.3, consideration of amendments. Okay, move at Councillor Cassidy, a second at Councillor Miller, was it?
Yep. Yes.
Councillor Cassidy, you're the mover.
I'm concern that additional fees will discourage building, and I think that we should consider that aspect. We need more developments, more housing and so forth, and all, if we just keep dumping more and more fees on top of what they already have to pay, at some point a developer or builder is going to just say the hell with it, it's not worth it.
Okay, Councillor Miller is the seconder.
Took the words right out of my mouth. Yes, I was concerned too, but especially about, I mean, I'm not, I think we do have to put a some sort of fee in place, but I'm worried about, it might not seem a lot, $2,500, but when you're building, every cent counts. And I'm not sure how this goes with the building certificate of a private, someone's
private surveyor.
Yeah.
Basically, what it means is we've got, I think it's two, it might be three, but there's two buildings that this actually relates to.
Mm-hmm.
They're buildings that have been built, people are living in them, but they do not have the building certification.
Right.
That is why we've actually put this in place, is to cover that so that we can get a person to do the inspection to allow these people to get the certificate that's required to be able to live in it legitimately.
Yeah.
That's basically what it's there for. Other councils have got it. In fact, we pinched it off Southern Midlands anyway. So,
yeah.
So quite clearly, that's what it's all about. So it's if there's another one that comes out of left field that we don't know about, then this will have to apply to them. But it's not going to be added to others that come through the process now.
Mm-hmm.
It is basically to pick up those that have slipped through the net at this point in time.
So is this $2,500 set in concrete, or could councillors change it?
Well, basically it's set in concrete, but quite clearly if there's someone comes to us and says that they have an inability to actually pay it, we council could then determine whether they remit some of it, part of it, or all of it. You know, at that point in time, but all we want to do is to get these properties to comply.
Yeah.
Right, okay. Yeah. That's good understanding. Thank you very much.
Any comments, councillors? Back to the mover to close. Councillor Cassidy.
I disagree. I think there's a different approach that we should take. When a person applies, submits a development application, I think it's at that point that we say, this is what you might comply with, period. And if we discover that they're not complying, then we take action. But to start sticking additional fees on top of builders and developers, I think it will just discourage development here, and that's opposite our town structure planning and strategic planning and so forth for the municipality. We want growth.
I probably should have phrased it and made it quite clear. This does not relate to developments that will come along now. It relates to two to three specific properties that people are living in that have not got their certificate
mm-hmm.
of compliance.
Yeah. Mm.
That's what it's for. Got nothing to do with adding it to the fees of a building that's going to come up in the future.
Send them a certified or registered letter.
Pardon?
Send them a certified or registered letter.
Yeah, but the thing is, we need to get the building certified. That means it'll be a cost. That's the reason why this is put in place.
Debate's closed.
Oh, is it? Oh, right, finish. Sorry.
Okay, so Councillor Cassidy has closed the debate. I'll now put the recommendation forward. Those in favour of the recommendation, please raise your hand. That's carried. We did agree to a workshop about bylaws, didn't we? I let that one slip.
Yes, we did.
We did? Very good.
16.4. Mover. Councillor. Alright. Who was the seconder? No seconder? Okay, Councillor
Orr. I think Louisa would be better. Like, just two farmers got to sort out tribal issues.
Yeah.
But
you want to respond to that?
Yeah.
Louisa?
Certainly, yeah. Thank you. Council's in the receipt of a petition to amend the CEDAR plan.
Okay.
It's come from Pace CEDAR lawyers. So when a CEDAR plan needs to be amended, all parties involved are notified, and we've got evidence.
And Brown is no relation?
No.
Just checking.
No. Brown is no relation. All parties involved or listed on the title are notified, and we have evidence that provided in the application. I can confirm that all parties have been notified of the proposed change to the title, and nobody has petitioned that amendment. So in this case, council can make a decision whether to amend the CEDAR plan. And it really is to erase, if you like, rights of way and easements that are redundant.
The seconder, Councillor Hall, do you have any questions?
I think the planning person, the advisor, has advised well.
Okay. Councillor Archer.
With some water easements that affects people further along, it wouldn't have to be advised. That's not likely to be the case. It's not like an irrigation channel works, it's just pipeline easements.
So I'm not sure who the easement... So the easement... So whoever has the title for the easement has been notified. And in this case, it's not an individual, I don't think. It's a catchment
group.
So yes, they have been notified.
Does that answer your question, Councillor Archer?
It does, Mayor. With the irrigation channels, for instance, and some pipelines, that there's a thing called redundant assets where if there's a transfer of ownership along the carriageway that affects people further along, the next door neighbour has the opportunity to comment, but then one too along doesn't.
Mm.
And I'm just hoping not to be caught up in something like that, but I'm sure Louise has looked at that and there's no chance for leaving redundant assets there somewhere.
Okay, any comments, Councillor? Back to the move to close, Councillor
Orlock. I think the pipeline easement might relate to the irrigation channel that they closed off when they did deliberations for the fish hatchery there. Mm. So it goes right across several properties. So, but the rest of it's still there, what the dairy farm wanted, Tom Brown here.
Is there a problem, Councillor Miller?
Sorry, my computer's going great. I'm just picking up some.
Okay, so I'll now put the recommendation. Those in favour, please raise your hand.
Councillor Orr.
Yeah, I moved it, didn't I?
Yeah.
I didn't see your hand.
Alright, thank you, that was carried. 16.5, the Otterwise bus. I love this old bus. And it'll be interesting to see what councillors say. Oh, I better get a mover before I say much. And Councillor Cassidy, Councillor Machen. This would be an enormous draw card for tourism if it was situated, in the right place. That's just a bit of information. I'm allowed to give information.
But the mover should move the motion and talk
the
to the
mover's moving is Councillor Cassidy. The second is Councillor Machen. So over to you, Councillor Cassidy.
First of all, I just wanted to point out, though it doesn't state anywhere up here in the agenda. That actually looks like a photo that I took during the bicentenary of the bus.
Yeah,
I just wanted to point that out. But I agree with the mayor. I believe it is an asset to the municipality, and it's got quite a history. And it's the last one, I believe, that's remaining and still running. And I think it sure would sit nice right there in that spot, fenced off, or in front of the visitor center on the grass fenced off. I would hate to see people climbing all over and prying pieces off of it, but I'd love to have it. If I had the money, I'd buy it myself.
Yeah. Second, that Councillor Mason.
This is a terrible idea.
Absolutely terrible. If you have a look at the previous items, we're in serious deficit now. We forewent $120,000 of spending, so we wouldn't buy 10 new vehicles for the council. This vehicle will be not an asset, but a liability from day one. There's nothing more sad than a vehicle like this sitting with flat tyres, and I've seen plenty of them in town centres. It is not a draw card. I really don't want the idea.
I'd volunteer to wax it and pump the tyres on it.
And it did have a sister. This bus was two of them many moons ago, both in the shed down here.
Julie could drive it.
80 years old.
Yeah, Julie can drive it. Okay, back to it.
Not saying that you're that old,
Julie. Okay, councillors, up to you about this.
Julie, for some of you, Julie.
Councillor,
can we first just the shed it goes in?
Good. Tell me why the shed. Tell me why the shed.
That's good.
Well, that's a thought. Councillors? Councillor,
all right. But it's for storage, safekeeping. Council's not really set up to do that sort of stuff. Where are we going to put it? How are we going to have it open to the public? We've we've knocked back sort of things, buying structural things. I'm trying to think of something else from where the moment. Yeah, it'd be nice if we could probably give a grant to someone or some help for someone who's going to do it, to look after it, make it happen. And that would be my idea. But to actually buy it and look after it, just keep the kids out of it.
Councillor Miller, then Councillor Archer.
I'd say something like this, although we haven't got a motor vehicle museum in the southern part of Tassie. There is one up north, I think, still operating, isn't it? But something like that should go to a place like that where it can be kept in immaculate condition.
Yeah.
Councillor Archer.
Yeah, I'd just like the general manager to do some investigation for us. The first thing to do is find out what they want for it. Yeah, just do some basic information gathering exercise.
That's a good idea.
It's actually just budget deliberation. That's what the budget
means. Well, it is, but I suppose I'm not sure how urgent they are to... yeah, that'll do. Yeah, so... look, we can make some inquiries, and if push comes to shove and you need to have a special meeting to deal with it, then so be it.
Hmm. All righty, can we leave that in your capable hands?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. All righty, so the mover is Councillor Cassidy. Would you like to close, Councillor Cassidy?
Surely. Firstly, I care very much about copyright, so if you're going to use my photo, I'd appreciate a photo by Robert Cassidy, okay? I don't mind that you use it, but please acknowledge it. Copyright's very important. Now, the second point is tourism is a very, very vital opportunity for the, this municipality. And I don't think that we should find reasons to knock back tourism opportunities or attractions. So rather than thinking of reasons why you can't, why not think of reasons how you can make it work? So Anthony's brought forward a pretty darn good idea. Let's investigate, find out how much they want, so on and so forth. And I believe if it was properly placed and fenced off so that only the person maintaining the vehicle could have access to it, I think it would be very, very attractive right in front of the visitor center. Mm. Why should we give away such a beautiful asset that people will never see it if it's up in Longford or some other place?
Okay, thank you for that. Alrighty, so the debate's closed, and for the recommendation, could you please raise your hands in favour of the recommendation? Alrighty, is there anyone against? Against is Councillor Miller and Councillor...
No, Councillor Meacham.
Councillor Meacham against?
Yes,
please. Okay, Councillor Meacham is against, therefore it's carried. Thank you. Carried. Six, Bootmaker's Cottage. Mover, please. I'm not sure who put their hand up. I think it was Councillor Miller. Councillor Meacham. Councillor Miller.
Although I was a bit sceptical with the last one, you know, to run investigating, same as this one. This one could, if run properly, could actually be an investment within Bothwell if it was open, like the volunteers, like the Heritage Centre, the Visitor Centre. And if it was done right, where people could go in and have a look and see how the boots were made and all that, I can see that being more, especially if it was like donation gold coin or something like that. But I'd like to again investigate more into it and where we would put it.
The recommendation says investigate.
Yeah, so to me, that one would probably be more of an opportunity than the... What brings to mind is the old bush mill down in towards the Tasman, where they did that, and to me that could be a real asset.
Councillor Meacham?
This is a terrible idea. This is a terrible idea. We're in deficit. We're in deficit now. I've seen similar projects to move buildings much more modern than this, and they get to the low estate where they're trying to move it and it falls apart, and you write it off at this point. Now, I've been through this cottage. I've seen it inside. Not only do we need to contemplate the costs of moving it, which is a highly specialised job, it will fall apart. Once we get it onto the spot, do we leave it locked up, which would be the cheapest option, and people will peer through the curtains, or do we pay for curation inside, which would involve, I presume, perspex screens in front of all the displays, and then there's the security of the building after hours. And I know other buildings of similar stage have survived. Skips Cottage would be an example, and Skips, well, not Skips Hall, that's not open. It's in the face of a deficit, we should not be considering it. And in essence, the landholder, who I respect, is really looking for us to shoulder a cost that they would otherwise carry, for heaven's sake.
Councillor Hall, Honour and Cassidy.
This has been moved here before. It's been relocated before.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, structurally, this building might take being relocated too many times. I mean, that's just my opinion of it. Just a thought.
Councillor Otter.
My husband was the one who moved it from its original spot round to the Falls of Clyde. without a problem. I only had a small truck, and I think they actually done it on a trailer frame.
Okay.
And towed it to there. So, and then whoever else moved it from the full supply when Marjorie Brennan sold up,
yes,
and to where it is now. So no, and the steps hall is open 24/7.
Yeah, that's good. Councillor Cassidy.
Well, I agree with Councillor Meacham on this. I believe it should sit right where it's at. And, as I live nearby, it receives plenty of visitors. I've seen them. I've spoken to them. It needs, the building as it sits right now, needs maintenance. Some siding has fallen off. And also, there's a visual aspect there of the old split rail fence that's on either side of it. We move it to another location. I would dare say that it would not have the visual appeal that it has where it's sitting right now. I feel awfully disappointed that they cut down the beautiful, healthy eucalypt behind it. There's been hundreds of thousands of photos taken of it. But I think it just should stay right where it's at, and council should not, I don't believe we should be involved in this at all.
Thank you, Councillor.
So council's not very good at doing this sort of stuff. There's going to be solely reliant on volunteers. Where do they come from? The volunteers for the visitor centre come from Hobart.
And we pay their fuel.
And we pay their fuel. So we've got crumbling infrastructure at Hamilton, probably around here at the round thing. Like, this is another building that we've got to maintain while we're in deficit.
Yeah.
And it's probably better off left in private use.
Mm.
Mm. I think so. Or if it was on the rec ground property, set in the correct location, maybe. I don't know.
The rec ground, but there's no room at the rec ground. Well, it has to be right up the other end.
They're good draw cards for bush beds and that. But anyway, the council has made a decision, hopefully. Any other councillors' comments? All right, we'll go back to Councillor Miller to close.
Yeah, we've lost so much now. I'd hate to see lose this. And I know we're in deficit, but maybe we can do, as investigate what we can do to keep this building and to be able to open it up to the public where they can actually take an interest in what happened, and the bootmaker, as a bootmaker. So I think there's a lot more to it than...
Well, it's history, isn't it?
Yeah, and you can't afford to lose history.
No. Okay, Councillor Miller has closed. Pardon me. So I will put the recommendation forward. Those in favour, please raise your hands. This is the investigation of it. Okay, I'll have to record because it looks to be a difference. So 4 is Councillor Miller, Councillor Honour, Councillor Truffet, Councillor Hall, and Councillor Truffet. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 to go through this carry.
One of you is going to have to change.
Oh, I didn't say for against, but I should have recorded that. So it was against was Councillor Allwright. Councillor Allwright.
Yeah.
Okay. Please raise your hand.
What do you want me to do? Yes or no? I've already said no.
Yeah, no, that's what we're doing, the no vote.
Thank you for listening, Councillor Allwright. Not?
Yeah.
Councillor Allwright, Councillor Archer, Councillor Meacham, Councillor Cassidy are against. So we've recorded that as well. Very good.
Are we going to move the fence as well?
Yes. We're only investigating at the moment.
That's right.
It was carried, Councillor Cassidy.
Well, I know that there's been numerous comments in regards to deficits, but the deficit you actually have this year is substantially less than you've had in the last 4 months. So.
That is good news, thank you. 7.8.1, Council Committees and Council Reps. There's been some comments from councillors about the way we structure this, and in all fairness, some councillors agreed to having a vote on paper. So I'll need a mover, Councillor Honour to move, and Councillor Cassidy to second. And it, obviously it's due to the passing of Councillor Bailey. These positions are vacant. One is the audit panel, two is the independent living unit, and three is the plan committee. So if we have a silent vote on a piece of paper and we get probably the deputy GM to do this for us, can we?
Okay.
And it'll be handed round. One is for the audit panel. Put the name down as whoever you wish to have on the audit panel. It comes back to Adam, who counts it in front of us, and that's the way, fair way we do it.
We surely have a chance to speak to our nominations.
I don't think so. It's just been an argument all along.
It has caused some issues.
Really what it comes down to also is that we need some clarity. Quite clearly, if you wish to nominate for a position on a committee, surely you can vote for yourself if you so wish.
That's the
unless way unless councillors have a different view, but that's the way I would interpret it.
So we're not just doing the vacancies, we're just doing a lot of
work. No, we're doing the vacancies.
The piece of paper will come around first for the audit panel. You can vote yourself if you wish. Then it'll be counted.
And so what do you want me to do? Nominate someone for the audit panel or not?
For the vacancy.
Yeah, if we get nominations for the positions, then
there we go. So I'd nominate Councillor Meacham for...
No, this is silent.
This is to nominate the people.
We're
going to do the silent.
No, but we've still got to know who we're voting for.
It's for silent.
Well, the vote's going to be silent, but we've got to nominate someone, don't we?
If you do the silent method like you're talking about, and no one knowing who's nominated for the position, you're going to be going around and then all of a sudden you come back and say, well, I really didn't want to be on.
So we
really need some nominations and then you vote for them. Well, unless it's state parliament.
And that's where we won't go.
We won't go.
So we are voting for the vacancy on the audit panel.
Yes.
Correct?
So we need nominations for that committee.
For the audit panel itself.
I nominate David Meacham, considering he's still either...
Thank
you.
This is silent.
No.
It's silent.
Oh,
vote for someone on the audit panel.
We've got to nominate...
I'm totally confused here.
We've got to nominate a prop.
It's not hard to do with me.
One person you vote for. Okay, Adam, are you going to be the collector?
We've got to know who you're nominating. We've got to nominate a proxy too.
No, you nominate.
Oh, then that's going to be the next one.
Okay.
All right, then.
You nominate. Person you would like to take that vacancy.
I think, Mayor, we need to. Nominate anyone who wants to stand for it. I want to nominate people who don't want to do it.
Just ask them. Who wants to stand for the position on the audit panel?
So it goes on there, on the paper. Here comes the paper.
So there's two that have nominated, Councillor Meacham and Councillor Hall. So you vote for the person you wish to be on that audit panel, in that position on the audit panel.
No. Are we going to have another vote for prop? Well, it doesn't matter.
One at a time, please. Once
we've voted for this one and Adam's done the count,
we'll do it again.
I don't know whether you do it preferentially
I'm doing the whole three at the one time because I know what I've got.
I've got four.
This is fun, isn't it?
It's like you avoid your chair.
Yeah,
Mira, this is a great deal to have nominations without the opportunity to speak to them.
We'll just go with the flow.
Well, if you want to,
this is always working.
Okay, you've now voted, but unfortunately,
we're still in a meeting. Can we just hear Adam when he reads out and tallies? This is the audit panel. So those councils have been on council a while. We used to do this many times with the GM, then I always would.
We're going to go to breakfast.
Well, that's the way it is.
So we've got three, actually.
Okay.
So Councillor John Hall is on the audit panel with 5. Councillor Meacham, 3 votes. And Councillor Triffitt, 1 vote.
Triffitt. Very good. So the audit panel is Councillor John Hall. Okay. Same again for independent living units.
And I'll leave them on the table. If anyone would like
to... Might be better if you didn't.
Yeah, I'd like to nominate for the independent living units. How do we go about doing that?
Vacancy for independent living units.
You're going to leave the proxy as it is.
Are we
going to
have a public waste smoke coming out of the chimney or something?
Exactly what I was thinking of.
Is that a different coloured smoke?
We don't know who the candidates are.
No, we just put down...
We need to get nominations for that position. Who wishes to nominate for the independent living units, the vacant position?
I'd certainly like to nominate for
now the independent living unit.
There are 3 nominations by what I take it. There is Councillor Archer, Councillor Honor and Councillor
Triffitt. Otherwise it's Councillor Shelley.
Isn't it?
Are you ready?
Yep.
There's a cat saying I'll still look up to see if he's going to be here.
Councillor Triffitt.
Yes. 5 votes.
Councillor Triffitt.
Yes.
Plant committee nominations. Well, it doesn't look like we need to vote on this one.
Unopposed.
Only Councillor Cassidy, so that's Councillor Cassidy on that one. That was done. Thank you everyone for working for that. So the audit panel is Castle Hall, the independent living unit is Councillor Cheryl Triffitt. The plan committee is Councillor Cassidy. Okay, it was moved by Councillor Honour, seconded by Councillor Cassidy. Are you closing? Those for the recommendations, please raise your hands. Councillor Archer, please.
The committee representatives.
This is for the process we've just done?
Yeah.
Who's missing?
Councillor
Meacham is out of the room. So it was carried.
Well, he can't because he's not in the room, so he can't vote. So we can't tell which way he went, so it's just recorded that he wasn't in the
room. I think there is a vote.
I could probably read it that way too, but the thing being is I can't. Because
okay, 17.2 is the general meeting notice of motions. Move, please. Councillor Honour. Councillor Cassidy. Mover, Councillor Honour, do you have any comments?
No.
Councillor Cassidy as the seconder.
None at this point.
Councillor Laws. Councillor Miller.
These motions, we're doing each motion as they go through, aren't they? Yes. Okay. No, that's okay. So the first one.
I'll let the acting GM take this so he can record the motion. Would you like to take over, Steve?
No, he said.
Don't read my mind. Yeah, look, quite clearly these are the motions that are going to the LGAT, so we put them down there separately. This is one that's been put about the circular economy. We either support it when the representatives go to the conference or we don't. That's basically where it sits.
Support, everyone happy with that?
Mm. Yep. Yep. Yep.
Statewide local government workforce renewal program.
We can move and second all those together, can we? Because I've got separate.
I do them separately.
Yeah, we can. Right.
We go back to the notice of motion.
Yeah, this is the council supports a motion developing a statewide local government workforce. We've got a mover and second.
And Councillor Honour, did I ask you to move, close that?
Yes, you did.
So we can put it for show of hands, recommendation. Mm-hmm. Those in favour, please raise your hand.
First one.
Yeah, we did that one.
Yeah, we did.
Yes.
We did
it
the second one. Councillor Meacham, we've done that.
Interference doesn't help.
Councillor Meacham was out of the room when we did the motion.
Very good. Recommendation, mover, please.
It's just those.
Councillor Miller, Councillor, all right. Over you, Stephen.
Basically, as it is, do we support a statewide workforce renewal program?
Mm. What's involved in that, Stephen? What's it mean?
Basically, what the LGAT will be involved in, and we'll be looking at, if we've got gaps. And one of the current ones that we have a fundamental problem with is a permit authority, those types of things. Mm. They might be able to put something in place, and we can actually then go and say, okay, we've got someone that's not filling that role. We can subsequently get someone out of this process. So clearly that's what I hope they're talking about.
So Councillor Miller was the mover, Councillor Allwright the seconder. So Councillor Miller, did you have any comments?
No.
Councillor Allwright was the seconder.
So it's been a lot of ongoing discussion in the sector, and to get more collaboration between councils across. So you know, it's sort of something that would probably be bound up in red tape, but we'll still have to support it.
It's one of the things that's likely to be included in the amendments to the Local Government Act.
Yeah, well, we've got to help.
And unfortunately this council can resource here but only one way.
Yeah. Yeah.
We can only get it back, we can't sort of, we haven't got the capacity to go the other way.
Yeah.
Councillor Machin?
Oh, no, something to reinforce, but the points by both Jim and by Steve that this complements the sharing of human resources between LGAs. It's very worthy of support.
Councillor Cassidy?
I hope during the conference, the mover and seconder of this motion, they'll also consider a TAS TAPE program for creating council employees, training them up. And I think that TAS TAPE and all 29 councils and the state government should be partnering in this to create a program.
Yeah, I need to have 40 councils. Yeah, that's their motion. okay, any other councillors? Rightio, I'll put the recommendation forward. Didn't ask you to close, Councillor.
No, that's fine from what I was going to say what everybody else has just said, so.
Okay. Those in favour of the recommendation, please raise your hand. Councillor Archer, what's happening around there? Yep, carried. Recommendation was from Central Coast. Mover, please. Councillor Honour. Seconder. Seconder. Councillor Cassidy. Any comments, Councillor Honour?
No, it's something that really needs to be looked at for low income areas.
Yep, very good. Councillor Cassidy.
I don't have anything to add to that.
Councillor Laws.
I'm just concerned with the whole waste program there. That we owned our own tips and here we are getting slugged a bill for owning our own tips.
No, and this one also.
It's in my neck, I wouldn't be supporting any of this stuff.
If you have a look a bit deeper, you'll find that there is probably three or four boards that are doing the same thing in the south of the state, so I think they're milking the levy. That's on their personal opinion.
Well, I agree with you. I think this is scandal. We owned all our own waste disposal, they centralised it, just made them pay.
We did think at one point that we might not pay the levy and see what kind of testing the water might be. Thought it was safer to actually pay it in the end.
Alrighty, no recommendation.
In support of what Nat is saying, like we've got to pay the Ukraine tip. They bundle the money into so many committees. We could vote against this at Legat, that would be fine, but we'd get shafted, that all goes through. The urban based councils can't even process what happened.
I still think it's something that we should start to seriously pursue.
Well, if it's probably an opportunity, Steve, to start taking from understanding. Because
other
councils
do
in Valley, they got their own
tip. Yeah, look, it's always been the Department of Environment's view that waste transfer stations are the go and shut down all landfill.
Yeah.
That's the way they've wanted to push, and that's what's happened up in the Lakes Country. But I think probably not at this one, but the next LGAT meeting, it's a motion is put up by this council to actually find out how many boards are milking the cow on the way through the level.
Just as another comment here, council did the numbers, I'd say nearly 10 years ago, and if they closed our tip down, we'd have to spend $300,000 to send all our rubbish down to Copping. If that would possibly be, could be $1 million now.
Yeah.
Like, that is serious stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And if councillors don't get their head around that, that would be, what, 20% of our rates, just to freight it down there.
And we're told that the Hamilton tip had about 20 years left.
When we bought that compactor, it added another 10 years onto it, I think.
Yeah. So that discussion was in depth. All right, we're back to the motion. Moved by Councillor Honour, second by Councillor Cassidy. Councillors have Spoken, Councillor Miller.
My idea was that if we're paying to use our own tip and they want the money for it, I'd let them say, right, you pay for the employee.
Anyway, we're back to whether we're supporting or not, so we're back to the recommendation. Closer is Councillor Honour.
Yep. Now everyone should be saying so. Yes.
Very good. Alrighty. Those in favour of supporting this recommendation at Legat, please raise your hands. I'll record. In favour is Councillor Honour, Cassidy, and myself. Rightio, those against. Okay, against is Councillor Allwright, Miller, Archam, Meacham, Triffett and Hall. So that is a not support. That one. And we'll have to have reasons why not to support.
Not reasons.
Really. Aren't we?
No, just voting against it.
I'm speaking to the acting chair.
We have a motion around the table. It doesn't mean every councillor has to speak to it or against it. So quite clearly it's the same thing with the LGAT.
With a not support.
You just, that's the way you've been advised to vote on this motion when it comes up.
Yep.
That's it.
Recommendation mover. Councillor Cassidy, seconder. Councillor Bonner.
There is a slight amendment to that. I've got the Councillor Cassidy to attend the conference. I was under the impression that Councillor Cassidy, when it was first done, was going to come to the session and speak to it. I was subsequently advised that it looked as though he was going to go and stay at the conference. On that basis, our policy says it's the Mayor or Deputy Mayor, and that's why I put it in. But Councillor Cassidy has clearly said he does not intend to stay. Is that correct, Councillor Cassidy?
So if this is my opportunity to speak to this motion...
Can I just mention that where it says to attend the conference, it should be annual general meeting. It shouldn't be conference, actually.
It's not an AGM.
It's the annual general meeting and the conference.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's just got conference in our recommendation. It should be annual general meeting. Okay, so the mover was Councillor Cassidy, second to Councillor Honour. Back to you, Councillor Cassidy.
Thank you very much. So just to confirm, Dion Lester, the CEO of LGAT, told me there's just a small attendance fee for me. I intend to be there to speak no more than 2 to 5 minutes, and I'm out. I live 58 minutes from Hobart. I think I can come back home. And that's my only participation there to just speak on this motion. Or if the mayor prefers, and Dion said if you wanted to invite perhaps Dr. Andrew Cole, the professor of astronomy at UTAS, you could have him speak instead of me. He'd be eminently more qualified, but I'm happy to speak.
Well, the way I look at it, I will move it and I will ask you to invite you to come along and speak to it.
All right. Thank you very much, ma'am.
A very short speech, under 5 minutes.
Yes, ma'am.
So if Councillor happy with the way we're doing that, that's good. Alrighty, so the move was Councillor Cassidy, second to Councillor Honour. Any comments, Councillor Honour?
No.
Okay, any comments, Councillors? Councillor Meacham and Allwright.
I'm very supportive of this. With the major issues that Council ever faces, I always look at the strength of the levers that we might be able to pull. And so in relation to federal matters, we pull a very weak lever. In relation to state government matters, it's only marginally better. Legat, I'm not full of wild optimism that this will be accepted, simply because of the problems of implementing this and the major population centres. I think it will be very difficult. So this is a top-down approach. It's worth trying, Robert. Absolutely worth trying.
It is.
But we need to complement it with bottom-up. And bottom-up means adopting AS 4282 2023, which is what Dark Skies Tasmania advocates, push for with all councils. And that is, it's a lever we hold in control on. It's powerful. Looking back at the Weasel Plains DA, have a look at page 60 and page 66, they explicitly say that they will follow AS 4282. The Goblin people assure me that Cattle Hill is already compliant, and they say that they will implement the same at Basham. So we've got the opportunity there on the bottom-up approach to complement this. And we can make that point too, that you know this is the other lever that's available.
Thank you. Thank
you,
Councillor.
All right. So I was the only one who voted yes this last week. I still reckon we should have a workshop or, you know, something to, we've got a new councillor now, I mean, just to get some, I'm not fundamentally opposed to it, but actually I think it's a good idea, but we should have some in-depth discussion before we start sort of putting the heavies on people in the community that might have a skylight that's shining upwards.
Any other councillors? Councillor Archer.
Yeah, Mayor, I think we need to workshop this thing in detail. I'm really concerned, having read the New South Wales legislation. It's scary stuff. For a 600 kilometre circle around observatories.
That's very different.
Yeah, well, absolutely. So I actually think we need to just be really clear what we're voting on, and I don't think we are at the moment. I think, you know, I agree with the concept, but it's a detail that's going to bite us on the backside if it drives up costs for ratepayers.
Well, this has been accepted as actual.
It has, exactly.
Been accepted by local government. So the recommendation in front of us we need to address now, and we go back to Councillor Cassidy to close.
So when we brought this up at the council meeting, it was split off into two portions, and I recall that it was approved or accepted that I approach this matter with LGAT. I see this as a two-pronged approach. Of course, David is correct, you know, that we have one lever to pull down here at local government, but I think, I personally think it would be weaker than introducing statewide legislation. And look, last time there was a counselor that told me, oh, this is going to, you know, cause someone, you know, my mate, he's not going to be able to shoot possum up a tree with a spotlight. I mean, this is not going to plunge us into the Stone Age. This is merely about minimizing light pollution. That's all it's about. It's not about, you know, putting any imposition on your farms or anything else. It's just about minimizing light pollution in the future. It's not retrospective, it's going forward. We have a beautiful night sky down here, and we're missing another tourism opportunity. Rather than finding reasons to say no, find out how can I work with this? How can I make it work for me?
Thank you. Debate's closed. I will ask for show of hands for the recommendation. Those in favour, please raise your hands. Is there anyone against? All right, Councillor Allwright and Archer against, so it's carried.
Until we have a workshop.
We will have a workshop.
It's closed now.
It's
done.
It's coming.
Next recommendation, you're moving, Councillor Miller. Seconder, please. Councillor Cassidy. Okie doke. So, the mover. Any comments, Councillor Miller?
Yes. I noticed that, and I understand the farmers using the fencing that they're using because it's cheaper. But I've seen the fence with the square gaps, I've seen a full-grown sheep get through that. Never mind the lambs. And the amount of lambs that I have encountered on the road. The other day I went down Thousand Acre Lane and there was three lambs out. Now I slowed right down, but they panicked. And if I hadn't slowed down, I would have hit one, because they ran across the road. And they panic, they go back through the fence, they damage the fence, they damage themselves. I think it's mainly the lambs that are on the road, and they can be a problem. And I don't blame the farmers for wanting they've got a lot of places, a lot of fence lines, but I think we're going to have to, something's got to be done, not only for the farmers, but for the sheep. I mean, they are a hazard on the roads.
Thank you, Councillor Cassidy, as a seconder.
Well, it just wouldn't be sheep that wander onto the road. It could be cows, pigs, etc. But my personal experience driving twice a day down the Highland Lakes Road to Hobart, I've encountered sheep on a blind corner. The last one was front feet were standing right on the edge of the bitumen, and its head was actually over the road. And I slowed down to a stop, and to scare it off, I just tooted my horn. It's a responsible thing to do, but at night, it'd be more challenging to see it in time. I would like to, if I may, Madam Mayor, defer to the two farmers here, what they think. I really think that they have a solid input to this discussion.
Yeah, that's not a pecuniary, is it, with the farmers?
No.
Okay, no. Just make sure we're on the straight and narrow. Councillor Allwright, Hall and Archer.
I was going to say, I'm actually surprised there's no enforcement provisions. That's weird. You know,
no,
how old
the
age. Yeah, but
this is... Will you repeat what you said? I couldn't hear.
I'm surprised that there's no direct, I'll quote here, no direct monetary penalties applicable to enforce adequate fencing. My only comment is if you go out on the Torwell Road, and there's a lot of council roads that aren't fenced, so we don't want farmers caught as bycatch if a overzealous general manager decides to enforce a fencing provision. Some places it's just not necessary. Mostly it's just maintenance issues, really.
Basically, there is powers for the general manager to serve a notice for domestic animals, but not for
livestock. So that might be. But maybe, what about the state growth? They've got to have statutory powers to enforce that, don't they?
They use the Ways and Means Act. In other words, they're from the state government. They have more clout than anybody else.
Yeah. So that's the sort of main issue. You've got to, country gravel roads.
Okay, we've got Councillor Hall and Archer.
Just piggyback off what Councillor Allwright said, there is a lot of roads in our community that are unfenced, and our roads go through the middle of them.
Yeah.
Where would this put us in a position if this comes through? That's where I'm just a bit at.
All that meets.
I've
never heard anything.
Take your turn. Finish, Councillor Hall.
Road out here, road out there. I think the repulse road, some of that's not fenced.
Okay. Councillor Archer.
Yeah, I've had some recent experience with this. I had a call from an employee of a Southern Council saying that we've got some goats here. What do we do with them? They're on the road. What should we do? And I said, under the Boundary Fence has actually got some sting in the tail. Well, I'm not sure that we have. That was the response that came back to me. He said, had they gone through council land onto the road, that would be a different kettle of fish than just being on the road. My understanding was it wasn't even a council road, it was a state growth road.
Okay.
But what they ended up resolving to do was to get the inspector person who does the dog work. They snabbled a couple of goats, took them off to the bright sides, and everyone was happy and rosy in the garden. But I've had a lot of experience with the Boundary Fences Act, and that's really got teeth, and it's a very sensible document. If for instance, you're in a city or in a town or on a farm, your obligations are black and white, that if your neighbour isn't doing the right thing, you can enforce them bringing the fence up to a minimum standard. Then if they don't fit the foot of the bill, you can chase them for the money. You know, that's pretty onerous, and I think pretty well drafted bit of legislation. It's been there for over 100 years and been very effective. There may be a one word missing, and that's the domestic animal sting in the tail, perhaps, Stephen. You get better as enlightened than that. Isn't a sheep a domestic animal? I mean, it all comes down to the definition. A sheep or a cow or a budgie, you know, it's all much the same. And I think the Boundary Fences Act, as it's drafted, has got a lot of teeth. I'm terrified of it. I don't want to be in breach with my neighbours. We go to a lot of trouble to make sure our fences are stock-proof. You've still got civil penalties if someone hits a livestock on a road. Long sad face of common law can come chasing you. I think there's plenty of sting now. Now, I'm sure this might be something that we need to tidy up with the language, and I wouldn't be opposed to that, but I do know that the Boundary Fences Act is a very powerful bit of legislation as far as compliance from neighbours to neighbours.
All righty. Councillor Cassidy, you actually have spoken.
Oh, well, I guess I was the mover, right?
You were the seconder, so it's back to Councillor Miller to close.
Yeah, just a thought, as everyone was talking, I'm just wondering with this legislation, that recommendation that's going through, is it for an adequate fencing, for the, and thinking back to Stewie on the at Hamilton there, where he had cows out on the road, and then in fact a tourist actually hit one of his bulls. Which didn't make the car come out. I think the bull came out on top. And I'm just wondering whether that's more of what they're speaking about. Is it adequate fencing like that than what I first spoke about, which was fencing that allowed, although it was adequate, it's still like it was solid, but it still allowed livestock to get out of the road.
Their
like
motion is more going through council land to get on the road.
And this motion, don't forget, is a Georgetown.
Yep.
Council motion. It's whether we support it or not. That's what the recommendation.
I was more listening to everyone. I was more thinking that maybe it's along the lines of farmers not having adequate or secure fences.
It's not going to affect us, right?
No, I'm going back to the recommendation now. Everyone's had that opportunity to speak. Right. Councillor Miller has closed it. So now I'll ask for raise your hands if you are in favour of the recommendation that was moved by Councillor Miller, seconded by Councillor Cassidy. Raise your hands in favour. Okay, record, raise your hands in favour. Councillor, all right, Miller, Honour, Meacham, Triffett, those against. Okay, those against is Councillor Archer, Cassidy, Hall, so that motion is carried and supported, I should say. So we support that one. Alrighty. Recommendation, mover, I don't know which one of you.
I really would like to speak to this.
Councillor Meacham.
I'm really opposed to you.
I know we're just as
alrighty. So, moved by Councillor Meacham, seconded by Councillor Cassidy.
Okay, we've been over this ground before and I do know where this is heading. This is something I believe the state government's going to do anyway. So whether or not we'll get enforce it, if you have all the documentation relating to the future of local government review. If this is invoked, it will, I should think, and we need to verify this, I should think for all of us who've done modules 1 and 2 will be exempted anyway from having to complete them before the 2026 election. If I'm wrong, and we do have to complete new modules 1 and 2, and it's possible because of change to the Local Government Act, you're talking about 3/4 of an hour for each module online. It doesn't take that long. I'd be interested to hear, when he gets a chance, Councillor Hall to talk about it. What it will enable is that that candidates can't go out and make really rash promises. It will sensitise them against making really rash promises, such as, I will defeat this and this if I'm in council. I will vote against this and this. It's worthy of support, and I look forward to hearing it.
Okay, and that's the point, is whether we support or do not support
right.
Northern Midlands motion.
Thank you.
So it's Councillor Hall and Councillor Cassidy, I missed you, sorry.
Yes, thank you. Well, I absolutely disagree with David on this, and that's been my position. I've written to every mayor throughout the state. I've written to Kerry Vincent, Dion Lester, Mugridge, the whole lot of them. Look, I challenged them. I sent them an excerpt of the helicopter flying handbook on hovering, and I asked them if they'd be able to hover a helicopter just from reading the instructions on how to hover a helicopter. This is experiential learning that we are doing right now today. Okay? This is how we learn. We learn by doing, on-the-job training. You sit there in front of your computer in a dark room, 6 months down the road when you have to address some issue, whether it's on planning or some bit of the act, that's already been forgotten.
So just
I'm focusing on this. What I'm saying is we need to... I just blow this stuff out of the water. It's a bunch of crap. Period.
Okay. Councillor
Hall and Miller. Well, I'm stuck with it, right? I've got no problems with the online modules. No problem at all. So I'll put my hand up for that one. But I'm a little bit against it happening before we become elected. And I might not get back in next time. And this has been a complete wasted 3 hours.
That's just
my opinion would be if we get re-elected, then you do it. I've got nothing against that.
Yeah.
But I think this is going to be, look, if we're down to 5, I'm going to do this rubbish for nothing.
Okay. Councillor Miller?
Doing the learning packs, 1 and 2. Doing them by myself wasn't too bad for the simple reason that I'd already been on the council and been to council meetings prior. But I think if there's new councillors, like there was with the 3 of us, it probably would have been better to sit down and do it all together. But the other thing is that I learnt more from being in the council meetings with Tim and particularly Steve pulling us up on this is what you should do, this is, and to me that was a far better learning opportunity than these online, because sometimes the online you can like, oh, I failed here, I'll go back and do it. Yeah, I failed here, I'll go back and do it again.
Okay.
But it's being with people, networking with people.
All right.
Who know what they're doing.
Any other
councillors
to speak?
Councillor
Archer?
Mayor, I'm philosophically opposed. This is, you'll probably all recall, I think when the Minister does it, we should do it. I don't think there's any advantage in rote learning, particularly before an election. It just seems a bizarre motion to put up, really. I'm completely opposed to it. And I think if I look at the candidates, sorry, the colleagues that I've served with over the last 7+ years, that I don't believe it would have modified any of the problems that we've had or improved a lot of the outcomes. I think it's warming the glow stuff, but really won't produce anything.
Okay, Councillor Archer.
Thank you. Any other councillors? And I think it's more productive if we work as a workshop to get things done. I think it's much more productive. Who are we? Councillor Meacham to close.
Yeah, I've just asked you to note that this is under the government framework. This is actually part of a whole package of council learning and development. And so there's the pre, which is the nomination stage, which I think makes candidates cognizant of what they might be able to do if they're elected. Once it's going to be required for us, once we're elected, to go into to enter a learning and development plan with the GM for the first year, and it would be required then to progress through some more of the modules. That's what I understand. I'd make the point too that even flying a helicopter, there's a combination of tacit and explicit knowledge. And the explicit knowledge, come to a problem, you look at the manual, you know, load rating.
I was an instructor.
Okay, you left one, but at some stage there must have been a use of a manual. And with us, look at us, there's the provision of the Local Government Act, and that's actually what's taught in these modules too. So there's that degree of explicit knowledge that is really good for our functioning. And we cannot be forever relying upon Steve to pull us up and say, this is what's required. So
okay,
I'm
wholly
supportive of this.
Okay, so you've closed the debate.
Yep.
And it is now I'll put the recommendation forward. Raise your hand in favour of the recommendation. I will record in favour of is Councillor Allwright, Councillor Meacham. Are you in favour or not, Councillor Hall?
Yeah.
So it's Councillor Allwright, Meacham and Hall in favour. And those against is Councillor Miller, Archer, Honour, Cassidy, Trivett and Trivett. So that's a non-support, right?
Thank God.
Not support. I have to get this right because I have to click at the gap. Recommendation. This hasn't got a number, has it?
Flood risk.
Yep. Council's report, Northern Midlands. Okay, could I have a mover, please? Councillor Cassidy, seconder. Councillor Allwright, Councillor Cassidy, would you like to speak to this?
Well,
Councillor
Mover. I think obviously flood risk management is essential as it's proved here in our municipality, especially in Bothwell, so I support this.
Councillor Allwright, you're the
seconder. So I think the North Midlands have big issues with floods on that floodplain. Yeah. We've got a massive rate of levy there. But I really only second it because I'm surprised there's not enough bite in the planning legislation to deal with what they're talking about. I mean, flood maps, state emergency, that's not planning, state planning office, their resource to direct a review of someone.
Yep, it's the flood one, yeah.
But don't planning guidelines sort of prevent people building houses that are going to float away?
No.
Or rezonings or having houses in land that float? It's really just support as they were doing that.
State planning office or to planning the resource and direct and settlement review as it changes to the IK.
It's not really a planning issue.
Well, it is.
Policy alignment, clarification, to expedite alignment, flood mapping and planning control.
What they're talking about here, FES flood mapping, on the list now we have many, many more areas, which is the FES flood mapping, which we are using.
Yeah, well, I don't know, but there must be something out there.
But it doesn't really necessarily fit into the planning scheme.
No. There must be something up at North Midlands up around Long because they've got all that big flood plain.
Any other councillors? Councillor Mason, return to your seat, please. You're the mover. Can you close? So the recommendation whether we support the Northern Midlands Council or not. To support, please raise your hands. Okay, that is carried. We support. Very good. Now we'll get on to the one that I was doing ahead of time. And I have Councillor Cassidy and Orrock.
That was the one we just did.
Yes, and okay. I've got you down to the next one.
Well, we haven't even put it yet, so it could be included.
This is Regulation 47 we're talking about now.
Yeah.
That's just a tricky
stuff. So what's the... What do you want me to move it, do you?
Yes.
All right, then I'll move it, so I've got to sort of work out what it is.
And the
second note?
I'll second that one.
It's an amend of meeting procedure regulation. So in other words, you can then get an apology after the event as opposed to before. That's what it's all about. There's been concern.
So you can get apologies in retrospect.
Yes.
Yep.
That's what it's about.
No.
Any more to say? Move, Councillor.
Well, no, we don't second it.
I second it.
Councillor Miller seconded. Okay. So Councillor Miller, is it seconded?
No, it sounds good to me.
Very good. Okay. Any other councillors need to comment? Yes or no? No. Those in favour of the recommendation for Northern Midlands to support it, raise your hand. Okay, that is carried. We support that one. Move to the next recommendation, please. Mover?
I'm lost on it now. There's so many darn motions here. Which one are we on?
We're on the
Public Disclosure Act.
Public Disclosure Act. It's Warratah Wynyard, Councillor Honour. Seconder, Councillor Meacham. Councillor Honour to speak to.
No, I don't think I've got anything to say on it.
Very good. Councillor Meacham?
Unfortunately, I think like Councillor Archer, my iPad's given up the ghost. I would think in essence this is about strengthening the protection for whistleblowers. The Australian experience with whistleblowers is woefully poor. Putting up your hand in the face of bad behaviour by others is really, I think it's similar. It's really difficult, so it's worthy of support. Thank you very much.
And councillors, any comments? Okie dokie, back to you to close, Councillor Honour.
Yeah, no.
Those in support of the motion were before Waratah Wynyard, raise your hand. That is carried.
Can I ask you a second?
Thanks. Considerations of supplementary items to the agenda, is there anything?
No.
Nothing. Now.
Closure of the meeting to the public.
I think we should have lunch, shouldn't we?
If you finish
1 o'clock, is there any lunch for anybody?
No, the staff's probably eating at all.
Councillor Holmes said we couldn't have any.
You know you'll never live that down, don't you? You brought your own.
Well, I've got Katrina here.
What's that, mate?
Well, she was covered just for the closed session because she's on loan.
But, yeah. Can we need to do something for the budget? We have some thoughts, so you charge our computers up.
Yeah.
Have you run out of steam?
Charge them up before, blokes.
Hey?
Charge them up
before. Alrighty, we're good now.
Meeting closed to the public.
Meeting closed to the public.
1 o'clock.
At 1 o'clock.
Today.
And we'll resume at... Can someone open up? We'll resume at 1:15. Thank you.
I'm down at 67.
Yeah, so we're now on item 21, which is the public release announcement. Item number 2.1 was the confirmation of minutes. 4.1 was the tender for Thousand Acre Lane, which went to Andrew Water Construction. And 4.2, Hollow Tree Road stabilisation, Andrew Water Construction. 4.3, notice of motion from Councillor Anthony Archer. Which the motion was noted.
Okay.
We therefore now close the meeting at 3:02.